much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. I feel good. I look good. I feel like I'm moving. I feel like a cheetah. I feel black.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
It's a sausage competition.
Oh, in like sausage eating?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
King of the kubasa.
I bet it's delicious.
It is.
And now, like a supermodel's vagina, let's all give a warm welcome to Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
What does the bean say? What does the cabbage say? Part of us.
And now,
this show really improves with age.
Why? Because the jokes get better?
No, because my hearing gets worse.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday, the 16th of January.
Nice job, Lisa May.
Way to go.
It's not my fault.
Yeah, it is. You're pacing zero.
Stayed home 2 days.
Right.
Uh-huh. And I was getting better.
Uh-huh.
And Dave was coughing when I came back.
Is that right?
Yes.
Interesting. Seemed fine to me.
King of Mexico called in sick today, and we're blaming that on Lisa May because she was sick Monday, Tuesday.
Should I go home right now? Because I will.
Yeah, that's...
No, it's too late. I think you've already infected everyone. I think Chip's going to call in sick tomorrow, I bet.
Probably Kevin, too.
Do you have some kind of a scheme that you're where you just take out one of us at a time? How does it work?
I think that's it. It is weird because it's hardly, you look at the calendar, it's winter, but it's hardly the cold and flu season in Southern California right now. Like, where's everybody getting all this from?
That I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of allergies that make it rough, but I don't know about the flu or whatever.
And it's very rare for Dave to call in sick as well, by the way.
That's true.
Anyway, it is an all-new Kevin and Bean Show for a Thursday. We'll tell you all about it in a minute. First, though, you know, I don't know, Kevin, how reflective you are on the show at the end of the day. If you go home and maybe you don't think about it, or you're able to put it behind you and just look ahead to the next one. Or
Bean. If I went home every day and reflected on that day's show, I would take my own life.
Well, so I hope that's not true. But there were a couple of interviews last year that were memorable here on the Kevin and Bean Show that I know we talked about Kanye after it happened, where we kind of got bum rushed by Kanye West, where he literally walked into the studio in the final minute of the show one day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was weird.
Had no idea he was in the building, had no idea he was stopping by the studio. And I know we even talked about that one on the air afterwards, that we, you know, with some preparation, I think it would have been a much different and much better interview. We regretted the opportunity that we had to say some things to Kanye and ask him some questions that we just didn't have on the tip of our tongue when he walked in.
Right.
So we definitely regretted that one. And then the other interview that comes back every once in a while in my mind is when we had the band Against Me come in.
Oh, that was sweet.
That was Laura Jane Grace, who has transitioned into a woman over the past couple of months. She's still on her way toward that. I think she still has some surgeries ahead. But they have a new album that's getting ready to come out now, so she's in the news a lot, doing other interviews talking about this new record. Well, Grantland did a piece on their visit to K-Rock.
Yeah. It turns out that not everybody was happy with that.
And this is one I feel like we're getting a little bit of a raw deal on this one. And here's why. And then I'll tell you what they said. Because, first of all, we're fans of that band. We were excited to have them in. And we weren't trying to be indelicate speaking about this subject that I know – might be very difficult for Miss Grace to talk about, but it was she knew that we would be talking about it because it's basically what the content of the new album is about her feelings leading up to her sex change and her trying to evolve her life in a direction that makes her more comfortable with herself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like the topic was off the table.
Yeah, and by the way, management told us before, that's on the table. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Right.
Talk about anything you want.
All the dark depths that Laura Jane Grace plumbs on Transgender Dysphoria Blues pale next to talking about a record like Transgender Dysphoria Blues with the two chuckleheads of the local radio zoo crew.
Yeah.
Now, are we chuckleheads on a local radio zoo crew? Really?
I think probably. But so I think that's probably pretty accurate.
We weren't like, hey, show us your boobs. I mean, we weren't doing that. It wasn't
Kevin
that kind
was
of a thing.
A
I was
right?
sort of doing that. Yeah. A and B, I wish we would have. Now, in retrospect, what do we get out of it?
Laura J. Grace and James Bowman faced in November when they appeared on influential L.A. radio station K-Rock before a sold-out show at the Troubadour. In fairness to hosts Kevin and Bean, the interview could have been much worse. There could have been sound effects, Bowman pointed out diplomatically. So in other words, we weren't doing some of that.
Right.
Nevertheless, listening to Grace being forced to explain the dynamics of her family life, which, by the way, was she being forced to explain the dynamics of her family life? And I think that's a direct reference to me saying, how do you talk to your kid or kids, I don't remember which one it was, about this? And I said, it's not like you're explaining a change of hair color. You're talking about a change of sex. Which
that's
I didn't
a legitimate
think
question.
I thought it was a legitimate question, too. But I think that that's what they're pointing to here, being forced to explain the dynamics of her family life. This wasn't Guantanamo, right? We were just asking in the real world, what's it like for you to explain this to a child?
Such
well,
a chucklehead.
In her defense, we did have waterboarding ready to go, just in case.
If we needed it, right.
Yeah.
For family life. Or stifle a wince when one of the chuckleheads makes a ball-less joke.
Yeah, that's me. That was me.
Well, Kevin does go for levity.
I'm that chucklehead. No, you know what happens is when it starts getting boring,
yeah,
or uncomfortable, or I don't think it's good, you try to spice it up any way you can. Now,
sure.
That may have been a swing and a miss.
Ballless. Like, I don't think that one went over big.
I was going for a home run and I struck out.
Right. She was talking about having balls to do something or make a decision or something like that, and you were like ball-less. Well, you were making the obvious
right.
joke,
yeah.
Right. The K-Rock interview is emblematic of the intermingled personal and professional responsibilities that Grace must navigate. After all, she's the one who made a record about her transition. Her life is fodder for her art,
that's
and therefore, fair or not, open to interpretation by strangers. Now Grace must hang with whatever questions come from whichever bros. It's a tough situation to be put in, Grace said. I have to psych myself up where I'm like, don't react in an angry way because it's possible that someone making a comment like that is just looking to get a reaction out of you, which I don't think was the case at all in the ball-less comment. Do you, Kevin? You were trying to get a reaction out of her.
No.
Yeah, maybe a chuckle because I'm a chucklehead. I mean, maybe
you are
just
a chucklehead.
Maybe just to lighten it up a bit. That's all.
So you put this, I mean, because there, look, it's a serious subject, and obviously she's gone through a very emotional time to get to the point where, you know, where she decided to change her sex to make herself a happier person, but it doesn't mean it can't be discussed in a way that's lighthearted, I think is what you're saying, right?
Right.
I mean, you can do both. So you put this wall up and you're like, quote, I'm just going to smile through it. I'm going to go on effing K-Rock and promote our record and get through it. These guys are obviously morning show disc jockeys and usually radio is not a fun experience. So you just kind of take it with a grain of salt. So she had a great time.
Oh, yeah. By the way, she didn't take it with a grain of salt. We heard immediately afterwards that the management was very upset. And by the way, let me just say this. These two chuckleheads have done way worse. I mean, we were really going out of our way to not be dicks to her.
Yeah.
We did try.
We failed, baby.
Really did try.
But we did try.
I don't know. It makes you reevaluate your career, though, when you see the obvious derision in these guys are obviously morning show disc jockeys.
Yeah.
Which, it makes it sound like, well, these guys are predators. You know, or pedophiles.
I think they're just used to.
Or murderers.
I'm not sure they meant murderers. I think it's, you know, they've done interviews with morning shows before, and the morning shows are always the least careful and the least sensitive to what's going on because they're just trying to get a laugh.
Yeah.
But I just, you know.
I'm sorry I did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that. I did a bad thing.
Well, I felt bad enough in November, and now here it is being regurgitated. And
yeah. Why would they go back and revisit that story now?
I think they're doing a big piece on the album's getting ready to come out now, and they're doing just a big piece on what you know what it's been like for her to kind of go through the process and now have to answer questions about it. And sometimes it's tough. I think.
But that's were we the only interview she did?
No. I mean, we're the only one that's mentioned.
That's why.
Here.
That's what I'm asking. Is she must have done many interviews?
Yeah, I don't know.
Ours
I don't know
was the worst.
I don't know. We are chuckleheads, Kevin.
Listen, I don't doubt that.
Apparently, we are chuckleheads.
I think that's accurate description.
That's what we've got to look forward to today as well.
All right, let's talk about today's Chuckle Hut show.
You're weird. You're a weird guy.
Haley Joel Osment.
Yes.
We'll be in the studio talking about Spoils of Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
We have our friend Sally Ann Salsano in. She makes TV that's terrible and that we love. We love to
hate
roll
yourself for it.
We love to roll around in.
Yeah.
This new redneck show, man. Yeah, oh my God! Did you watch the trailer for that?
I did not yet. No.
Wait till you see the kids on this show. You're going to A, hate them and wish them all fiery death, and B, you can't wait to party with these kids.
Party Down South is the name of the show. So we'll talk to her. We also have tickets for Kings versus Ducks at Dodger Stadium. We have Kevin Bacon will be on the show in the 6 o'clock hour.
Very
fantastic.
Cool.
Talking about The Following. It's coming back. Very excited about that. And we have Dr. Drew on the program today, and we have comedian Jay Moore on the program today as well.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
So we'll take a break and we'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54. You playing the mouth harp?
A little reverb there, that's all.
Nice, like it. Hey, Ralph joins us with exciting, late-breaking show business news for this Thursday morning. Good morning, Ralph.
Everyone's excited. Hey, I don't want to remind everybody, tomorrow night at the Improv on Melrose in West Hollywood, Kevin Smith and I are doing our Hollywood Babylon show Friday.
That's alleged.
No, it's not alleged. It's happening. tomorrow night, 10 p.m., you can go to improv.com to see Kevin Smith and I eviscerate the week's show business news. Love to have you come out. Go to improv.com or babylonralph.com for details and tickets. And we will most certainly be talking about the Oscar nominations, which were announced just this morning. It is moviedom's biggest honor, whether you like it or not. Here are the official nominee list, at least the big top categories. Let's take a look at the best performance by an actress in a supporting role. Sally Hawkins for Blue Jasmine. Well done. Well done, Sally Hawkins. And well deserved. Jennifer Lawrence, American Hustle. No surprise there.
She was great.
The people love her.
That's
and true. She was great in that. Lupita Nyong'o, 12 Years a Slave.
It's great.
Julia Roberts, August, Osage County.
Great.
And June Squibb for Nebraska. Good for June. She plays Bruce Dern's wife in that film, and she's been an actress for a long time. She's getting a little love late in her career, which is nice. And I think the supporting categories are always my favorite categories for that reason.
Why?
It's much easier for a newcomer to get a nod, and it's often a place where they will give an award to someone who's got a body of work who's been kind of slaving away as a character actor for many years and hasn't got a lot of attention. They will give them that nomination as well. The stars usually show up in the major actor categories,
right.
But the supporting actor categories are always interesting because you get new people and people you haven't heard of before and people have been around for a long time. I always enjoy that. Best performance by an actor in a supporting role. Once again, you're like Barkhad Adbi.
Oh, Barkhad.
Who played the lead pirate in Captain Phillips.
Oh, yeah, he was good.
He was terrific.
I am Captain now.
And he was a brand new actor.
That's amazing.
Hey, guy was working at a cell phone store or something when he went
out. He was a limo driver. He was a limo
driver
in Minneapolis when he got the role. So now he's nominated for an Oscar. Bradley Cooper for American Hustle. Michael Fassbender for 12 Years a Slave. Jonah Hill for The Wolf of Wall Street.
Awesome.
Well-deserved. And, of course, Jared Leto will win for Dallas Buyers Club. So
enjoy the nomination, you other guys.
That's good news for him. Best performance by an actress in a leading role, Amy Adams for her work in American Hustle. Blue Jasmine's Kate Blanchett. Sandra Bullock for Gravity. Judi Dench for Philomania, as Leonardo DiCaprio would say. Philomena. And Meryl Streep for August, Osage County.
Wow, Meryl Streep got nominated for an Oscar?
What?
That's weird.
Best performance by an actor in a leading role, Christian Bale for American Hustle. Bruce Dern for Nebraska. Wolf of Wall Street's Leonardo DiCaprio. Matthew McConaughey's Dallas Buyers Club performance was nominated as well. And Chiwetel Ejiofor, 12 Years a Slave, also nominated. Got to think, all right.
They'll be accepting
an award that night. For Best Film of the Year, here are your nominees. Once again, they can nominate as little as 5 or as many as 10 films for this category since they changed the rules. Here's what you got. Best Motion Picture of the Year. American Hustle. Okay. Captain Phillips. Dallas Buyers Club. Gravity. Her. Nebraska. Philomena. 12 Years a Slave. And The Wolf of Wall Street.
Why do you want to go and make things even harder for people by nominating that many films? It's hard enough to pick one out of five.
Yeah.
Now you got to pick one out of, what do we got here, nine.
Nine. They're all good, though.
They're all good. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Now you're making things even more difficult. How do you pick the best film out of that batch? It'd be hard enough to pick out of five, but at least they get some notice, and they're all good films. Strong batch this year. You go to Oscars.com, I believe you want to look at the entire list of nominees, but I'm just really happy for that achievement in makeup and hairstyling for the Lone Ranger. And for Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa, by the way. Nominated for an Oscar.
It is?
In hair and makeup.
Awesome.
So congratulations to Knoxville and the Klan.
Awesome.
There for getting their Oscar nomination.
I hope he wins and accepts as Grandpa.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yes, it would.
Today's celebrity birthdays are not here because Dave usually does that and he's out sick.
Ah.
So we'll have
you
to.
Know who did that? Lisa May.
We'll to, yeah, nice work spreading your black plague, Lisa. The day you come back, all of a sudden,
everybody else starts falling down.
Yeah.
It's like the freaking Helix in here. You're letting your virus out.
That's a good show, by the way.
Birthdays in the next hour. I ain't got none. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin Bacon joins us in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin Bean Show. You know, I didn't stick with the following last year. I liked it at the start. Did not stick with it, but I understand it just got better and better as the season rolled on. It sounds like I made a mistake getting
awesome,
rid of that one.
And I can't wait. And there's a show on, I'm not sure exactly when it is, that's called The Following Revisited. And it's only a half hour, but it's a recap of the entire season.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is cool.
Well, Following returns this Sunday night on Fox. So we'll talk to Kevin Bacon in just a few minutes. Jay Moore on the program today, Dr. Drew, Haley Joel Osment, and Sally Ann Salsano, who is making our favorite new reality show, Party Down South. First, though, Ralph was just filling us in with all the details. I'm having a little bit more time to look over this list of the Oscar nominations. They were just unveiled about a half an hour ago because there's some categories that I'm always interested in, like songs, like who's going to be nominated for a song. That Happy song from Pharrell Williams. Have you heard that one, Happy? That they're playing all the time now?
Oh, yeah,
Got nominated for an Oscar.
What was it in?
Despicable Me 2.
Ah.
Karen O from the Yeah Yeah Yeahs got nominated with a song called The Moon Song from that film. Her, U2, nominated for Best Song for their Mandela song, Their Long Walk to Freedom. That Let It Go song from Frozen was nominated. And a song from a movie I've never heard of called Alone Yet Not Alone got nominated for an Oscar as well.
Oh,
never even
Alone
heard of that
Yet
one.
Not Alone.
Do you know that one? What
not
is that
at all.
One?
Not one bit. Never heard of it.
Ralph also mentioned that there are 9 Best Picture nominees this year. You know, they can have up to 10. They have it's a fluid category now. And the biggest surprise for me, you know, you expect to see your American Hustle and your Captain Phillips and your Dallas Buyers Club, your 12 Years a Slave, they're all in there. The biggest surprise for me was Her. Not that I haven't heard it's great, but I don't think I've seen it nominated for Best Picture on very many of these end of the year award shows so far.
Although he did win for screenplay.
At the Golden Globes.
At
yeah,
the Golden Globes.
That's the Spike Jonze movie. I can't wait to see it. It looks amazing with Joaquin Phoenix and Scarlett Johansson plays the voice of that operating system that he falls in love with. He falls for her artificial intelligence. If you have not heard anything about this movie, everybody's talking about it. I mean, it's one that came out very late in the year that is really like cresting now in terms of people's love for it.
And it's bizarre as hell. A guy falling in love with a computer voice. It's Bean's future.
I wish. When can I download Scarlett Johansson on my desktop? That's what I want to know. When can I get Scarlett Johansson on my desktop, come to think of it? But here's a little bit of the trailer for Her, the movie we're talking about.
Hi, I'm Samantha.
Good morning, Theodore.
Good morning.
You have a meeting in 5 minutes. You want to try getting out of bed?
Yeah, you're too funny.
Okay, good. I'm funny.
What does a baby computer call its father?
I don't know what.
Data.
It's so quiet.
Can you feel me with you right now?
I've never loved anyone the way I love you.
Me too.
All right. Look, that's weird. It's weird from the standpoint of the guy that falls in love with the computer voice.
Uh-huh.
The computer voice is also falling in love with the guy. That's bonked up in a fantastic way.
Well, this movie has made such a tremendous impact that you know how Hollywood is. They are already imagining a sequel to Her. And I think they've announced it maybe coming out as early as next year, and they're calling it Him.
Oh, fantastic. Hmm.
When Herman Smedley got his artificial intelligence operating system, he thought that he too might fall in love. But instead, what Herman got was him.
Hi there. What's your name?
My name is Kevin. I'm your operating system.
Okay, Kevin. I'd like to use my GPS now.
Okay, I'll tell you where to go. get on the party bus and let's go to Vegas. Oh, I love Vegas so much. I don't even sleep there.
For Herman and Kevin, it was a match made in heaven.
Kevin, this is really serious. I need you to pull up my presentation for work.
You're a guy who I don't even know who your name is.
Kevin, I've got some work overseas. Can you translate this information for me?
I have 6 different lessons, languages. Never mind.
But sometimes, even the best of friends can't make things work out.
Kevin, I'm sorry, I just can't go through my life with a drunk computer.
Oh, of course you can. Don't be stupid. You're dumb. You're absurd. Absurd!
If you see only one movie about a drunk operating system this year, make it him.
I wish I wasn't a computer, because I want to drink.
Him, coming soon to a theater near you.
For next year's Oscars.
Yeah.
I'm in.
So here's my plan, Kevin. So Sunday, NFC Championship game is the later of the two games to determine who goes to the Super Bowl.
Right.
So if the Seahawks win, I'm going to be so happy that I'm going to tune in and watch the following and just enjoy myself and just love the hell out of it.
So that's a special night. That's not the normal night.
Right.
That's right. It's debuting the new season. Season 2 debuts after the NFC Championship game on Fox this Sunday.
Now that's if Seattle gets beaten?
I'm throwing my TV in the ocean. I'll never watch anything ever again.
Promise?
How dare you? Couldn't be more excited for season 2. It is coming back. It was one of the big hits of the new season last year, and we're always delighted to welcome Mr. Kevin Baconstar of the following back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Kevin. How are you doing this morning?
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Very good. Thank you.
Do you have a football team, by the way? Are you rooting for anybody this weekend?
I'm rooting for a close game.
Yeah.
That everybody stays to the very end and keeps watching.
And then watches the following.
Sure.
Good thinking.
Well, congratulations on coming back for another season. It's never a guarantee when a new show hits, but the following was one of those. It just seemed like it got fans like right out of the gate. So well done, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, we certainly don't assume that anybody's going to watch anything. It's a very competitive time on television. I think the bar is really high and there's a lot of great stuff to watch. So we were thrilled that some people, discovered the show.
I was glad to see the half-hour recap of the following revisited because there was so much information and so many different plot twists and stuff last season. And so Joe Carroll is the main bad guy, and he was stabbed, I don't know, 3 times. And you were stabbed, and I don't even know who's still alive and who's dead and what's happening and if Joe's back or they're wearing masks. What the hell's happening?
What happens is that the last scene of last season, Joe Carroll was dead, and I was in my apartment and got attacked by my neighbor, Molly, I did, and Joe's ex-wife, Claire, did. Then we cut out of that scene. Actually, there was a longer scene that we had filmed, and you see the actual outcome of that scene. Then we jump ahead in time a year later, and seemingly everything has changed. Joe is gone, and I have kind of cleaned up my act personally, and are no longer with the FBI or interested in the case. But as is always the case,
sure,
on the following, things are not as they seem.
Let me ask you a question about the character that you play, Ryan Hardy. Ex-FBI agent, having a hell of a time in life, alcoholic, obsessed with this guy, Joe Carroll. Is it a difficult thing for you to play a guy who is so flawed, got a pacemaker, like he's got physical issues, he's got mental issues, everything is such, seems like it's so overwhelming and such a bummer. Is that hard to play?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that it's a dark place that you go when you go to work every day. One of the ways that we've kind of shaken up the show this year is to show a guy who, to show another side of him in this year. He has stopped drinking, and his heart is working better, and he's in better shape. But there's masks in this show, and I think the masks are kind of a metaphor for the fact that people aren't always as they seem. And what you find out pretty quickly is that this obsession that he has with Joe Carroll is something that he may never be able to shake. So to answer your question, yeah, but I like that. I like the challenges of going to dark places, and I wanted the character to be flawed. I wanted him to be complex, and I think we've stayed pretty true to that.
How do you personally, how do you like doing television?
It's awesome. You know, I mean, I had a pretty good idea about what it would be like because my wife was on a show for 7 years. So, you know, when you live with somebody who's doing it, you get a pretty good firsthand,
right.
Version of that. And also, I directed 4 episodes of her show, so I sort of knew what the process was going to be like. But I can say the thing that I hadn't really gotten my head around was the fact that I spend so much of my day acting, and that's really what I love to do. We work at such a breakneck pace. There's so much to get done in the course of the day. And there's a lot of time that I spend between action and cut, as opposed to sitting in a trailer or waiting for the lighting setups. That's really kind of exhilarating to me because it's what I got into this for.
So movies are such a slower pace that you spend so much less time acting.
That's right. They really are a slower pace. And I'm an actor that likes to do a lot of homework to figure out who the guy is. And then try to work in an instinctive way, you know, just like come ready and come prepared, and then just, you know, in the first couple of takes, just kind of go for it. And I work better, I think, in those kinds of situations rather than taking 8, 9, 10 takes to discover who the character is.
We have Kevin Bacon on the phone talking about The Following, which is coming back. And how many days does it take you to film an average episode? It's an hour long.
It's 43 minutes.
Okay.
Of content, and when you think about that, that's kind of half of a movie. And,
right.
I've worked on movies that have taken 8 months, and an episode for us takes 8 days.
8 days.
and sometimes with a ninth to, you know, get some extra pickups. So it is a lot, but our crew and our directors and the rest of the cast are just amazing. I worked with 2 actors yesterday who came in and did 2 scenes, and they were so incredibly well prepared that things went really quickly. In another kind of situation, if people weren't really coming to work with their game jerseys on, you know, we would have been there hour after hour after hour. So that's part of what's fun about the TV thing for me is the opportunity to get a chance to work with so many great actors.
Well, it's clear how much you're enjoying it too, and you know, seeing a guy like you and a guy like James Spader over there on The Blacklist. I mean, when somebody like you commits to do a show, we know it's worth tuning in for. You know what I mean? I mean, you definitely get us in there and did not disappoint with season 1 of The Following. We're very excited. Season 2 returns this Sunday night on Fox after the NFC Championship game. And by the way, as we say goodbye, Kevin, I just want to say, fun to see you and your wife on the Golden Globes the other night with your daughter up there on stage. Did she have a great time, or is that a nerve-wracking thing trying to get people off the stage in the right direction?
She had a really, really fun time, but she did also say that, you know, wrangling actors who could possibly be half in the bag. It's not the easiest thing.
It is funny to watch them because there is drinking allowed at that show. And not only that, but they're so nervous when they're up there on stage giving an acceptance speech, they start walking any which direction, straight, yeah. Backwards, left, right.
It is funny. It's you know, frankly, I find that's kind of what's appealing about the show is that, and about those moments when people have these great, you know, kind of moments in their lives and anything can happen and they get a little bit surprised and overwhelmed and don't know which direction to walk. I think it's really kind of touching and fantastic.
Well, she did a great job, and it was great to see you guys up on the stage. And thanks so much for the time on the Kevin Bean Show. We always enjoy catching up with you, Kevin.
Thank you, man.
You bet. Following again comes back Sunday night. Very, very,
very
excited
cool.
about that.
Yeah.
All right, looking ahead here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we want to hook you up with an awesome, perhaps once-in-a-lifetime event, and that is outdoor hockey in California. We're talking about Saturday, January 25th at Dodger Stadium, Kings versus Ducks. If you want to go, we're going to give you a chance to earn the tickets. You can play a game with us next, 1-800-520-1067, coming up right after this on K-Rock. You said something interesting the other day off the air, Kevin. I know you're a big hockey fan, have been for years. that it's rare to have the Kings and the Ducks both be doing so well at the same time.
Yeah.
Usually it's one team streaking, the other team's in a little bit of a slump, but right now they're kind of fighting for the division.
Yeah, the Ducks are, first in the NHL. And the Kings are very close behind.
Uh-huh.
Somebody started smack-talking me about this game on the 25th at Dodger Stadium. Are you worried about it? I'm like, no, I like other teams to be at their best when we beat them.
Well, we're talking about Kings versus Ducks. This is going to be a historic game, though, January 25th, because it's going to be at Dodger Stadium. It's going to be the largest hockey game in West Coast history, by the way. You can buy tickets at LAKings.com or at NHL.com/LA, or you can win them right now, the 2014 NHL Stadium Series tickets at 1-800-520-1067. This time around, we're playing a game called Famous Kings.
King Kang, all you gotta do is name that famous Kang. Gonna be one of the greatest Kang. Be sure your answer is the best Kang. Putting your king knowledge to the test Kang. Hockey outside is fresh to death Kang. Now it's time to name the famous Kang.
Ladies and gentlemen, the return of Fresh to Death. Thank you.
DJ Omar Khan.
Thank you, DJ Omar Khan. So all of the answers, kids, will include the word king. All of the answers will have king in the title. All right? So that's what we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. Who's our first contestant?
Let's start with Joey. Good morning, Joey.
Good morning, Kevin. Being with me.
Good morning.
All right, Joey, listen up. Here's question number one. If you get it right, you go into the drawing. Someone wins tickets to see some NHL hockey at Dodger Stadium. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce. Special orders, don't upset us, is part of a jingle used on and off to advertise this restaurant chain since way back in the 1970s.
That would be Burger King?
Indeed.
That would be indeed.
Well done, sir.
Hold on. You're in the drawing. Let's move along to Ted. Hello, Ted.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Ted, famous Kings, listen up. This movie was a prequel to The Mummy, and the events in it took place 5,000 years before that movie and tell the story of a real-life Egyptian ruler named Matthias. What's the film?
Scorpion King.
Wow.
People are on it.
Nice.
Hockey fans, smartest people in the world, that's why. Dennis, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Dennis, this longtime former talk show host on CNN is famous for wearing suspenders, being married 8 times, and for having both heart attacks and multiple bypass surgeries. Who is he?
Larry King.
Larry King. May never die, by the way. May never die.
He, by the way, is 80, Larry King.
Yeah.
I think he's still pretty sharp for 80.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. All right, let's go to Chris. Hello, Chris.
Morning.
No pressure, but we've talked to 3 people, and they're all in the drawing.
Yeah, let's hope mine are as easy as theirs were.
Yeah. All right.
This American civil rights leader died in 1968 and is honored each year with a national holiday on his birth anniversary, which happens to be this coming Monday. Who is he?
That is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Look at that.
There you go.
Come
on. Nicely done.
Four
for four.
Come on with the come on.
Let's go to Henry. Hi there.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Henry, here's your famous King question. CBS's hot miniseries Under the Dome last year was based on a book by this best-selling author, as was last year's movie in theaters called Carrie.
Stephen King.
Stephen King is correct.
Come on.
God.
Wow.
That's impressive.
By the way, we have a lot of trouble with famous ducks?
Yeah, we did.
And now famous Kings, boom!
Yeah, well, that's all I'm saying. All right, let's go to Augustine. Hi.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Augustine, this movie Monkey is so popular that his story has been told in 3 separate major films, one in 1933, again in 1976, and in 2005 as well. He's also a featured attraction at nearby Universal Studios. Who is he?
Would this be King Kong?
King Kong. Look at
all
you.
Right.
In the form of a question, even. Now they're showing off. let's go to Paul. Hello, Paul.
Hi, good morning.
Paul, this National Basketball Association team is the only major professional sport played in Sacramento, California. They moved there in 1985 after 60 years playing in Rochester, Cincinnati, Kansas City, and Omaha. Who are they?
Kings.
Yeah, the Kings.
Sacramento Kings, yeah.
All right, got time for one more.
Yep. All right, let's go to Taylor. I believe this is the first time we've ever had every single person on the phone go into the drawing.
Yeah, so far, clean sweep.
All right, Taylor, hi.
Taylor?
Yes.
Okay. Speaking of films, by the way, this Oscar-winning picture from 2010 tells the story of Britain's King George VI trying to overcome a stuttering problem as he ascends to the throne. What's that film called?
The King's Speech.
This is unbelievable.
Come on.
Unbelievable.
Eight for eight.
I had
Joey,
so many to miss.
Ted, Dennis, Chris, Henry, Augustine, Paul, and Taylor all in the drawing. Lisa, only one can win. Who's going to see the Kings take on the Ducks January 25th at Dodger Stadium?
Okay.
She just dropped them all on the floor. I'm not sure.
The winner is Henry.
The winner is Henry. Congratulations, Henry.
Thank you.
See you on Saturday the 25th. Thank you for playing.
Name the famous Kang Kang.
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:51.
It wasn't all the way over, Beer Mug.
It was close.
There was still like a little tiny bit of a fade out there.
Beer Mug just said, "Sog's over."
An actual broadcast professional, Jay Moore, joins us right after the top of the hour here on KROQ. First, though, in here with us, chuckleheads, here's Ralph Garman, time for the show, Biz Beat, now on a Thursday. What's
going
on?
You guys listen to Jay's show?
Yeah, I do. I like Jay.
Well, the minute I leave here, when I get in the car, I turn on Jay's show.
Yeah, me too.
And listen all the way home. It is just so fun.
Yeah,
it's
very
entertaining. It's a great crew over there, and they do a great job, and it's sports, but it's so much more. It's entertaining, and it's funny, and it's a real good show, so check it out. Of course, this morning, I've got the biggest showbiz story in the world. I may not be able to get to anything else, so let's get right into it. Yesterday, it was announced that the 1960s Batman TV series is finally making its way to DVD and Blu-ray, baby. Come on, sing it. You know it.
That's the...
That's right.
That's the biggest hit.
Biggest showbiz story in the world.
Today...
That's all anybody's talking about this morning.
This morning,
the return of Batman. Finally, for the first time ever on home video, released on DVD and Blu-ray. Conan O'Brien announced it yesterday. Then Warner Brothers confirm the reports. Later this year, we'll see an entire box set of every episode of the TV series Batman from 1966 through 68.
Are you sure?
Available for your home viewing, people.
Are you sure people don't care about the Oscars more than
Let's talk about it, shall we?
The Oscars? Okay.
January 12th, 1966 is when the show first aired.
No, it was the first episode.
Now, famously, it was done over two nights. Over a Wednesday and a Thursday night. This had never been done before in broadcast television.
No way!
Let's move on. You look like your eyes have glazed over, Kevin. This is very important stuff.
It's not important at all.
It's hugely important.
It is to you. I'll give you that.
Everyone is talking about.
It's
important to me and Conan O'Brien.
Okay, fine. Two people.
Adam West.
Okay, three people.
Burt Ward, I'm sure.
Is that everyone?
Thrilled.
Everyone's talking about it?
Everyone.
I have to side with Ralph on this one. Batman on DVD has been the most requested title not available on DVD for years now. This is the holy grail of stuff we're waiting to come out, is the Batman TV series.
Boom! Testify, Bean.
I mean,
preach
truth
on,
be told,
Black Man.
Truth be told, this is, big, this is huge news.
Huge news.
Huge news. And we thought it would never happen.
And some other stupid thing, the Oscars or something.
The Oscar nominations came out this morning.
Hey, Batman. Warning all of you to brace yourselves for big news.
Yeah, see? Yeah.
Big news. Even Batman himself says it's big news.
Hmm.
God, I love Adam West.
Yeah.
The Oscar nominations also released this morning. Here's the highlights of the big awards. Best Supporting Performance by a Actress. Sally Hawkins for Blue Jasmine. Jennifer Lawrence for American Hustle. Lupita Nyong'o for 12 Years a Slave. Julia Roberts, August Osage County, and June Squibb for Nebraska. Supporting Actor, Barkad Abdi for Captain Phillips. Bradley Cooper for American Hustle. Michael Fassbender, 12 Years a Slave. Jonah Hill for The Wolf of Wall Street. And Jared Leto for Dallas Buyers Club. Matthew McConaughey was also nominated for his work in Dallas Buyers Club. Best Performance by a Leading Actor. 12 Years a Slave's Chiwetel Ejiofor. Leonardo DiCaprio for Wolf of Wall Street. Bruce Dern for Nebraska. Christian Bale from American Hustle. Best Performance by an Actress in a Leading Role. Amy Adams for American Hustle. Cate Blanchett for Blue Jasmine. Gravity's Sandra Bullock. Sandy B. She's got to win, right?
Her or Cate
have to win.
I would guess.
Yeah, I think that's the...
You got a one-woman show with Gravity. And then you have the tremendous emotional range and craziness of Blue Jasmine from Cate Blanchett. So,
and they're both previous Oscar winners, so there's no edge there. Yeah, tough one.
Meryl Streep, always a perennial nominee for August Osage County.
And was awesome in that.
Yeah, she's great. Well, she's great in everything. But I think there comes a certain fatigue.
Yeah, where you go, she's one enough.
Yeah, well, she's always good. What are we going to do? Let's make somebody special stand out this year. Judi Dench for Philomena, also a great performance. Did we do actors? We did actor already. Let's talk about the best motion picture of the year. There are 9 films nominated this year. American Hustle, Captain Phillips.
Anchorman 2.
No, that's not on the list.
What?
Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, Her, Nebraska, Philomena, 12 Years a Slave, and The Wolf of Wall Street.
And the sequel to Anchorman.
Not to Anchorman 2, not on the list.
Hmm.
You know, there are some nominees not on the list that were surprises this morning. Robert Redford, example, for his work in All Is Lost, another one-man show like Sandra Bullock's role in Gravity. A tour de force performance that got passed over by the Oscars this year.
And Lisa and I were talking about this morning before we came on, Ralph. That's a little bit of a surprise in that actors make up the largest voting block at the Academy, and they love him. Actors love him, and he's had a long, great career as an actor.
I'm reckoning that just a lot of people didn't see it.
That's possible.
It was
true with a lot of these.
It
movies.
Was in limited release, and I don't know how aggressive they were in getting screeners out there, people and stuff and everything. But a lot of people have not seen that film, despite his amazing performance in it. So. A lot to talk about between now and Sunday, March the 2nd. That's when the Oscars will be airing live on ABC. You can check that all out. Tomorrow night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I return to the Hollywood Improv on Melrose doing Hollywood Babylon.
That's the only entertainment event that is more important than the Oscars.
Hollywood
right?
Babylon?
Yeah.
I agree, yes.
Okay.
We'll be covering the Batman DVD release in full there. You'll finally get what you need from that news. Tomorrow night at 10 p.m.
That's going to be awful.
How dare you? You ever hear? Yeah, you don't listen to it. But Jay actually sat in once for Kevin, did Hollywood Babylon with me, Jay Moore.
Oh,
He was my partner in Hollywood Babylon, and people still talk about that episode. So. You can go to improv.com or babylonralph.com to get information and tickets. We'd love to see you come out tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Today's celebrity birthdays. Director John Carpenter is 66 years old today. He's great. He's done a lot of good stuff. Some of my favorite movies. Escape from New York. Boy, yep. I love that film. Halloween, of course. He's famous for that. The Thing.
Sure.
66 years old today. Richard T. Jones, the actor from Hawaii Five-0 and Revolution, 42 years old today. Supermodel Kate Moss. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't know why she's a supermodel.
I've never
lost
it.
On me.
Yeah, she's the only supermodel who doesn't get a bell on this show.
She's a big, big name in the modeling business, 40 years old today. Nick Valenti, guitarist for The Strokes, he's 33 years old today. And actress Renee Felice Smith from NCI Los Angeles, 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
He is a comedian, actor, sports radio personality, podcast host, ladies and gentlemen, and a true friend to the Kevin and Bean Show. Jay Moore joins us in K-Rock right now.
Yeah. Cracking on. K-Rock, K-Rock U, FM. Coming out with killers.
You guys are the best because you don't put on like fake radio voices. You go on the road and people are like, all right, welcome back to the zoo. Thursday, who's going to eat the vomit out of the bucket? Make the intern do it. Jay Moore, yeah, anything, any pranks happen on the set? What kind of pranks happen on the set? And then off the air, they're like, hey, that was really good. Thanks.
Jay's here because you have 5 big chances to see him this weekend on stage at the Irvine Improv. You're doing 2 shows on Friday, 2 shows Saturday, and then the Sunday cleanup show at 7 p.m. Sit in. Tickets available just $30 through improv.com. See Jay Moore at the Irvine Improv. By the way, Jay, we're a little bit depressed. You're making fun of morning radio. We're a little bit depressed today because a Grantland article came out yesterday that called Kevin and Bean chuckleheads. And that hurt. That hurt deep.
Isn't that Bill Simmons? Isn't that Carolla's guy?
I sort of like it.
He didn't write this particular article. But
but he's in charge. He has the ability to kibosh it and say, don't say that about my friends.
Oh, no. But I wouldn't expect him to do that.
What is a chucklehead?
I don't know. Apparently, we're chuckleheads.
You're not shock jocks?
we used to be shock jocks. Now we're chuckleheads.
Lisa May didn't even get mentioned in the article.
Well, maybe. She escaped blame in this particular case.
It was fantastic.
She's not a chucklehead.
A million bucks.
Yeah. Well, she lost those last few pounds vomiting over the weekend. So,
you had a stomach flu or something?
It wasn't that bad. I didn't throw up.
I've had a cough for like 3 months.
Yeah, it doesn't go away.
Super virus, man.
It doesn't go away.
It's going to do us all in. It's not going to be an earthquake. It's not going to be anything earth related. It's just going to be viruses that are restraining, that are just stiff arming antibiotics as you go. And you're just going to take a cough. Everyone's going to die like Jim Henson. It's just a cold.
Are you one of those people that thinks every little thing is going to be bad?
No, I'm the other way around. Okay. I'm wired positively.
I told him not to hug me too. When he came in. I said, you know, I'm still getting over cold. And he's like, I don't care.
I go by that George Carlin rule. My germs need other germs to spar with to get strong when the big real germs come in.
I like that.
I don't wash my hands after I pee. I figure my penis is cleaner than the doorknob because I just got out of the shower and I haven't touched it since.
Right.
It's like the cleanest thing. Right now, it's actually the cleanest thing in the building.
And I don't know how to argue that.
And you not washing your hands is great news for Kevin, who shook your hand when you walked in today.
No, I did wash my hands because I know you guys have a strict no-deuce rule in that bathroom, but I break it every time I come in here.
Oh, Jay.
You know, here's the thing. I can pee anywhere.
Right.
But you can't. I got to figure out a way because I can pee in a cup when I drive.
Right.
And that. All right, let's sidetrack
here. Do you do that often?
Every day.
You do?
Why?
Because I'm in traffic. I got to drive to and from work.
So
I don't want to.
So do I. So what?
Everybody does.
Dude? Man. Because I don't want the anxiety of having to hold it in the whole time. And if you have like a venti Starbucks cup, it's perfect and great. And you can just have comfort.
How far is your drive? It can't be more than 45 minutes.
It's not. It's just the fact that it's in me. It has to come out. It's like an OCD like anxiety that I have. And that, let's be honest. That's why women are jealous of men. They say like penis envy. It's not because they want to use it for anything else. I'm telling you right now, women just want to be able to pee outside like guys. Because I don't know if you know this. Lisa May can back me up. We can pee anywhere.
Right.
Women need another woman to lower them backwards over their pants. Like they need a spotter. They literally, and they talk trash to each other on the way down, like outside a concert. She's like, oh my God, you put too much lotion on your hands. You're too heavy. Hurry up and pee. Lift me up. It's splashing on my butt. Whose high beams are those? What time does the concert start? Whereas I just go in the venti Starbucks cup, and at a red light, you pour it out, and you hope the person behind you thinks it's green tea.
Yeah, no kidding.
Jay, this is one of the craziest things I've ever heard.
It's not really.
It is. Look, we have a million people who listen to this show. How many of them are peeing in a cup on their way to work every single day? None. Just you.
We don't know.
I guess it's more than none. Yeah. If you have to pee, if you're a guy, the Gatorade bottle's great. The vitamin water bottle is fantastic.
You know what I do? I have grown past the age of 6. I hold it.
Until you get to where you're going.
Right.
But Jay said it gives him anxiety.
It doesn't give me anxiety.
Yeah, yeah, no, it gives me anxiety. Because when I used to have panic attacks, I always felt like I had to evacuate.
Okay.
So
you don't mean run out of the building.
No, I mean my body would evacuate whatever was in it.
Parts of his body run out of the building.
Out of my mouth and all everywhere. I was going to vomit, go potty, do all that stuff. Potty.
This is our new segment, Too Much Information with Jay Moore. I like it.
I hate when people say too much. I like when people go like, so what'd you do this weekend? Or like, hey, you went to that bachelor party. What was that like? You go, oh, it was great. One of the strippers was a midget. And they're like, hey, TMI. It's like, no, actually, it's not. You just asked me how the weekend was, you moron.
Right.
Not you, Bean, because you didn't ask for that information. I did offer it up, and I apologize.
All right. It's okay. You know, I'm also interested in this, that we were talking about what a positive person you are, how you are glass half full guy.
Yeah, because I'm never filled with pee with anxiety.
Well, right. That's true.
There's nothing in me but positivity.
That's extremely rare for a comic. Isn't that the thing about comedians is most of them get into it because they have anxiety and paranoia about the world and they see things in a negative light?
I get asked that question a lot. My wife thinks that I'm an actor that figured out how to do stand-up comedy. I swear that I was born a stand-up comic. That's the discussion that's in my house all the time.
Gotcha.
But I have no...
So she says you're pretending to be a stand-up comic. That's why you don't have the damage that comes with a stand-up
comic. I'm an actor that's performing on stage doing stand-up comedy. But I unlike other comics, like you said, I don't have like a hole in me. Like I don't wake up depressed. Every day I'm happy.
Did you used to?
Never in my life.
Never really.
It's always let's get after it. Let's do it. Let's get this party going.
Because I would guess, stupid guess, but 75%, 80% of comedians seem like they are
unhappy people.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'm very happy. I've always been.
You've always
and I've
has
noticed
been?
Through my podcast talking to other comics back in the day, confidence and happiness makes people think you're a jerk.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Because you're too happy?
Well, it was Carolla. I was on Carolla's show once, and he says, what is it about you that other comics have the hardest time giving it up for? Like, I'll go, Jay Moore was just in here, and he was really funny. And they'll go, yeah. And they're like, he just left. And, like, I'm wiping tears at him. I get, you know. But I said maybe
they
I used
can't
to be,
give you credit for it?
I don't really care, but I get, maybe I used to be a real a-hole. because I used to drink a lot and take a lot of substances. And when you drink and do a lot of drugs, and then you couple that walking into a room with supreme confidence and arrogance, and you are like actually in a movie. And then the guys that are like scrambling for spots are like, "This,
I can see that.
This guy's making me crazy." That.
Do you have a lot of friends who are other comics, Jay?
Yeah, until I start paying them, and then the relationship goes south.
Is that right?
Yeah, anytime. I don't know. I'm no longer in charge of opening acts because any, except for Ralphie May, has always been really good to me.
Meaning they weren't happy with the amount you gave them, or what?
No, I used to give my openers $1,000 for the weekend.
Right.
And then, like, I would, if I was at the Ritz-Carlton, like in Denver, instead of the Comedy Condo, I would, like, get them a room. And then whenever, like, I would stop doing that, I haven't there's three guys, I can tell you off air, that I've not spoken to since.
Is that right?
Wow.
Amazing. And nothing happened. There was never an argument, never a fight.
You got along with them fine. They just...
Yeah, well, yeah. Wouldn't you get along with a guy that's like, hey, you know what? I'll pay for your massage. Let's just go get massages.
Absolutely.
Of course, yeah. Everyone needs that rich friend. But I'm just, I'm surprised because we have so many...
AM radio money.
So many comedians in here who that's their circle of friends is other comedians. Those are the guys they get together with and have lunch with.
You know what it's
been,
though? When you have kids, though, you can't, I can't hang out at like the improv until 1 in the morning. Yeah. And nor do I want to because I want to go home because there's a kid in like dinosaur pajamas. That is the most beautiful thing that God ever created, and he's in a bassinet in my house.
A lot of people think their kids are cute. Yours really is.
Yeah, and he's like a really? He's my 2.5-year-old ate a pizza the other night. He's like a pro wrestler. He's going. I'll show Lisa May the photo.
He ate like a whole pizza.
He ate an actual pizza. And he kept going. I need more food.
Oh my god!
I need more food.
And give me a cup to pee in.
So I fat shamed him.
And you what?
I fat shamed him.
It's about time.
Oh yeah.
Look at the size of that guy. Yeah. He's 2.5. He's a pro wrestler. Dude. He's got a finishing move right. He's got crazy hands. It's his finishing move.
Look at his head.
I saw a commercial right on my way. Have you seen these commercials for like over-the-counter pain relievers and they act like it's morphine? It's like, I'm a professional bull rider, 15-time champion. I've broken every bone in my body. I've separated all my ankles, dislocated my hip, and this is an artificial head. But when I take a leave, I don't feel any pain whatsoever. You're like, really? A leave bull rider?
Yep.
I don't know if you know this, but they sell Percocet on the corner.
Very different. Very much better.
Yeah, like
very
a leave. Or like a Shaq.
No.
I like Icy Hot. Like you're 7'2". You weigh 6,000 pounds. All like Icy Hot. That's really my knees don't bother me no more. I take Icy Hot. Like I'm sure Icy Hot is relieving Shaquille O'Neal of all the stress he's putting on his knees. Like come on, man. There should be a commercial.
Exaggeration.
Like, Percocet. You may get addicted, but wow, will Disneyland be amazing? A Bloody Mary and a Percocet. Start your day off right. Right. That's the Breakfast of Champions. Radar.
Jay Morris here. He'll be at the Irvine Improv all weekend long. Friday night, two shows. Saturday night, two shows. And then Sunday night at 7. Tickets available just $30. By the way, Jay Moore, I say, hands down, funniest guy on stage.
Yeah.
That's
April Foolishness, can I RSVP right now?
Yeah, we may not have room for you, Jay, but we'll check.
If you have room, if you can find it in your heart.
It's not that we don't have room for you. It's that we try to change things up a little bit, but we'll
then change somebody else.
But you're awesome.
Did Brad Williams run out of songs to dance to?
Improv.com.
That's not a slam. We all know that's my dude for life.
Immediately to go see Jay Moore this weekend. Back with our guest after this on K-Rock. TV producer Sally Ann Salzano joins us next hour. Her
She's
latest
the
creation
best.
She is called Party Down South, which looks amazing. That's next hour. Dr. Drew on the program today. Actor Haley Joel Osment will be here. And right now in studio, Jay Moore, ladies and gentlemen, on stage at the Irvine Improv this weekend. 5 big shows. Go to improv.com to buy your tickets. And Jay, you're going to be on the radio again at 9 o'clock this morning over
nine
there on
to noon.
Fox Sports, right?
Yeah. 9 to noon, a.m. 570.
I can't believe you've been doing that a year already.
It flies by. I always tell your listeners, come to the Sunday show.
Come to the Sunday
show. At the Irvine Improv.
That's the better one?
That's the one where I get the door.
Oh, right. All right.
But how about this? I'm going to switch it up.
All right.
Because I was thinking about your listeners specifically. They work hard for a living.
Yeah.
Second show Friday. Let's have a Kevin and Bean show.
Oh, nice.
Let's have that.
All right, the late show Friday.
Yeah. You go, you come home from work, shower, go out to dinner with your friends, get pie-eyed, get a little liquored up.
Boom.
Boom. Second show Friday. And I'll be like, who's here from Kevin and Bean? Place goes crazy. Hilarity ensues.
That's at 10 o'clock.
Perfect. If you say so. Yes, that is
10 o'clock
Friday.
Friday night.
Kevin and Bean's delight.
Jay, how you interview a lot of people on your radio show, and I'm curious because A, we do the same thing, but B, you have to interview athletes who are in general terrible, terrible interviews. How do you handle that? How do you have the patience for that, for all their cliches?
I tell them that they're giving me a cliche answer, and I tell them to stop, and I go, all right, just me, you, and drive. Me and you, just driving in the car. Are you going to re-sign with the Bengals, yes or no? I go, oh, come on. I really just say, come on. Then why come on if you're just going to give me corporate answers? And then I'll ask him, like, weird stuff. You know, like, who's your favorite pro wrestler? What was your favorite video game of all time? Who's shorter, you or this guy? Like, yesterday I had Andrew Hawkins from the Cincinnati Bengals, and he's 5'8". And there's another guy in the Bengals that's 5'8", Giovanni Bernard. I go, who's actually shorter? And he's like, Giovanni Bernard, man. You tell him what's up. Like, he got defensive.
I heard you had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the studio.
He just wanted to hang out. He was great.
It was great, but he gave you nothing.
He just kind of,
you know what I mean?
Like, he did until we started talking about jazz. Like, you got to figure out what their thing is. Like, I knew he liked jazz, and I love jazz too. So we just started talking about, you know, Coltrane and Miles Davis and stuff like that. And then
he opened up.
It's weird that a guy like that wouldn't open up over sports, but I guess he's done that his whole life. So,
and he's never had to open up about anything because he was 7'2". You know, he's UCLA, Westwood. He was a champion. Then with the Lakers, he was the champion.
Yeah,
but. God, this baby's killing me, Kevin. I don't have any segues. I'm tired today. I'm sorry. I'm not bringing the funny.
That's all right. You're tired.
My wife and I have this thing in the house. Who can get the baby to do something to freak the parent out? Like, you teach the baby to say, like, really bizarre things.
So that it freaks out the other parent?
Right.
Okay.
Like, I'm afraid of British children. They freak me out because they're creepy.
Why?
Why? Just they wear those little short pants and a hat. Like, I can't even watch AC/DC because of Angus Young's stupid little short pants and that hat. And, like, when you see a little kid and he's like, hello, mommy, you're like, this is the omen. Like, this kid's going to possess my soul. Or, like, if you watch Pink Floyd, The Wall, and you're tripping balls and that one kid, look, mommy, there's an airplane in the sky. You're like, that's why you were playing alone in the playground. You get that creepy accent. So, like, I'm afraid of British babies.
Okay.
And one night, it was about 3 weeks ago, I'm changing the baby's diaper, 3 a.m. And I'm changing his diaper, and I'm holding him in my arm with a now clean diaper. Pajamas are back on. I'm walking across the room back to the crib, and he opens one eye, and he goes, hello, darling. Oh.
No,
and the lights are out. There's like a little nightlight.
No,
hello, darling. I dropped the baby. He dropped his tea.
And your wife taught him that.
She did. Like, unbeknownst to me, like, for a month straight,
that's
she goes,
great.
Hello, darling. Like Russell Brand in a diaper.
Hello. Well, Kevin, it's the universal consciousness to make us all better people. We should all be glass half full, but I think the problem is it's too much glass. You've got more glass than you need for water. Kevin, darling.
Yes, sir. Are you afraid of all British people or just
no,
the
children. British grown-ups are cool. They fast.
They're fine. Okay, fun. Good. All right.
They're fun. They like to fight. The two Guinnesses in them, they'll just headbutt the bouncer. They don't care.
That's true.
That's really what it all comes down to. But you just want to hang out with people that are willing to fight, because I got news for you. I'm not fighting anybody. Those days are long gone.
You just want to live through somebody else's fight?
Yeah, you just hang out with, like, you know, WWE guys and MMA guys, and if some stuff breaks out, you just find the British guys with 6 Guinnesses in them.
You have a lot of MMA guys on as well. Do you like them in general?
It's my favorite sport. Yeah. I love it. Because it's evolving. Like, when football had – let's not eliminate. There's like you said you have a million listeners. 500,000 women right now are like, boring. Well, that's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, athletes, Clayton Kershaw, and
what do you want
fighting.
To
let's bring the women in a little
all
bit.
All right.
Let's talk about Barefoot Contessa or something. No, I have no idea. Don't tell Jeffrey. I say that on this show, somebody will tweet me like, oh, thank you for the – don't tell Jeffrey. Don't get me started on my omelet party.
You're not on board with The Bachelor like Ralph is, are you? Because Ralph Petros will not shut up about The Bachelor.
I've never seen The Bachelor in my life. I'm a huge Shahs of Sunset and a huge – all the Housewives of Beverly Hills except Atlanta.
Really?
I don't like the Atlanta one.
But you like all the others?
Yeah,
you
I really do.
Those shows, right?
Yeah, I do. There's always like a villain. You got to see how it plays out, and you're trying to figure out like who's – like, why is this person siding with that person? I think it's like a societal gauge.
I feel like once you put the cameras on them, it's all just – they're just trying to go further than anybody else.
Maybe. You but then I mean? Maybe some of them are trying to dial it back. You don't know. That's what – imagine like right now if there was a camera 2 feet from you and everything you're saying is dissected. Now I'm going to go do an interview in a private room about Kevin and Lisa and Bean and – maybe Beer Mugs if we feel like he's airworthy. Beer Mugs, by the way, has like a pit stain T-shirt on today, and he said, "That's because I wear proudly. That's because I wear deodorant, not antiperspirant." Why wouldn't you wear antiperspirant?
Yeah, I wondered that.
Why
too.
Do you want to have sweaty armpits?
Because it's not healthy not to let your armpits sweat.
Said the guy chewing whatever you're chewing. Said the guy eating Funyuns during the break.
Right?
Your name is Beer Mugs. I don't think you got that from being a vegan.
that is true.
I don't think you're shopping at Erewhon for like sprout soup. You're probably, you know, hitting the Carl's Jr. on the way home, no?
It's not healthy to not. It doesn't keep your body from sweating.
Just those areas.
Right.
Yeah. Just your armpit area.
But it's. Your armpits are an area that are supposed to sweat. You're not supposed to prevent them from sweating.
Oh, you are sexy.
You are dead sexy.
Well, who told? What is that? Some doctor? Dr. Drew would tell you you're crazy.
No.
Every doctor would tell him he's crazy.
My doctor told me that.
Really?
Yep.
You know what my doctor told me?
What?
You should quit doing drugs and booze. And I didn't listen to him. You know what? My kids are going to ask me one day, Daddy, I'm going to tell my kids don't do drugs. And
right.
They're going to say, did you do drugs? And I won't lie to them. And I'll say, yes, I did. And they'll say, what drugs did you do? And I'll say, have you ever heard of crack? And they'll go, yeah. I'll say, everything but that. But here's why you can't do drugs. It's only fun for the first 16 years.
Only for the first 16 years.
First 16,
okay.
The greatest orgasm you've ever had, the closest you've ever come to Christ, the best movies, the hardest you've ever laughed with your friends, the more you've appreciated nature and life in general and the fauna and everything out in the world, music, the greatest concerts. That all will happen on that drug watch. However, the last 4 weeks, real pain in the ass.
Sure.
Just
there
not
you go.
The last 4 weeks is hell, but those first 16 years is going to be the single greatest moments of your life, and you two have ruined that for me. Never again can I have that perfect combination of cocaine and booze and shoot free throws at Dave and Buster's, and the Asian guy next to me has no idea we're in a competition. I'm like, 11 in a row. This guy, I'm going to the final. And then Running Down a Dream by Tom Petty comes on, and I'm like, they put this on. They know I'm on a roll. Me and Dell were singing Little Runaway, swish at the buzzer, and you just turn to the guy next to you like, yeah, in your face, and he has no idea that you created this intergalactic free throw battle at Chuck E. Cheese or Dave and Buster's. He thought he was just there goofing off with his friends.
Right.
It's when skee ball is important, when you're railed out on coke. You're like, I'm doing it off the bank, man. Yeah! Give me the ticket. I want the Super Bowl with the spider in the middle of it. I have 8,000 tickets. Pay me right now.
You have just scared our listeners away from drugs. Well done,
really,
Jay.
Orange County? They have no idea what cocaine's like.
That's
are you kidding
true.
Me?
That's
they're wearing Ed
true.
Hardy shirts. You got to have frozen gums to put that over your shoulders. I'm sorry.
Jay
Second
has
show Friday,
to go.
Kevin and Bean.
Second show Friday, the 10 o'clock show Friday night, the Irvine Improv. That's the Kevin and Bean show. So Jay is going to be looking for you for a shout-out on
Bean,
Friday
And Bean, as
night.
You know, all my shows are meet and greets. I have T-shirts if you want to buy a T-shirt or if you just want to come out and shake my hand. I love to meet everybody because you guys work very hard for a living. The least I could do is stand in the lobby and shake your hand and thank you for coming.
Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night, improv.com. Tickets are just $30. Fox Sports Radio, Monday through Friday,
everybody
starting at 9 a.m. Thanks, Jay. You're the best, man. Ralph will be along in about 50 minutes or so here on K-Rock with the Showbiz Beat, talking about, among other things, the Oscar nominations that came out this morning. Then we'll talk a brand new reality TV show with our friend, producer Sally Ann Salzano, coming up after 8.
Right now. Pat O'Brien.
Hey, Pat.
Pat O'Brien show here on K-Rock.
What are you doing, Pat?
It's not the Pat O'Brien show.
Kevin, see how you guys in radio are doing. Now I'm a big TV star.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah,
like
you lost your radio job.
No, I left radio.
Oh, we heard fired.
No, left.
Okay.
Because I was just too busy doing all my television work now. Big
we
TV
heard you
star,
weren't invited back to join to stay with the station in 2014
I
is what
said,
we heard.
Screw it. I don't need AM radio.
Right.
Radio's for losers. That's what I said, and I told.
Did you say that after you got fired?
Told them where to stick it.
Right.
Told them where to stick their pink slip.
Right.
I said,
so they
screw you.
So they gave you a pink slip, which means they did fire you.
Well, no, it's just a euphemism for I left them.
Okay.
Everybody knows that. When you get a pink slip, means you quit.
That's not.
Well, we're going to agree to disagree on this one, because ask Hartman. He'll tell you.
Don't know a Hartman.
Hartman also quit.
Did he? I bet Hartman has changed his number. I bet you couldn't even ask Hartman if you wanted to.
I can ask Hartman. Just ask him. He'll tell you. I can ask him anything I want.
So you talk about acting
now, yeah.
And I would ordinarily say you're probably making that up, but lo and behold, I'm watching the Mindy Project on Tuesday night, and Mindy turns on the TV to some sort of an Entertainment Tonight style show, and who do I see on my screen but Pat O'Brien?
Getting your pre-baby body back is a nightmare for a lot of new moms. We caught up with new mamacita Jamie Lynn Sigler,
Pat?
Who invited me to her home. For about 3 weeks.
Pat, and is Maria Menounos here?
No, she's not. She's in Hawaii with her boyfriend.
So there you were, Pat, actually on the show, on
right.
Mindy, on
well
TV.
Done.
For real.
Well done.
You're applauding for yourself.
That acting is good right there, I gotta tell you. Somebody, you know, I really, I took some time. I did a little research, and I really got inside the character, I think.
Yeah. Didn't you used to be an entertainment reporter for like 15 years?
Many years, Kevin. I was one of the best, one of the biggest.
Right.
I also left that show. I quit that show as well.
Interesting.
I thought they fired you.
Sometimes you have to move on. When you're getting too big for a job, you have to move on to something bigger and better. I left television to do nothing for a long time.
Right.
And then AM radio. Right. But then you left AM radio
to go to television?
Yeah, I'm back. Because,
that doesn't make sense.
After the Mindy project, which they're talking about calling it the POB project.
I don't think
there's
that's
a rumor.
True.
There's
She's
a rumor
the star.
They might change the name to the POB project. Mm,
I don't think so.
We're going to have to agree to disagree on this one. Hi to Sean, by the way. We give a shout out to Sean in case he's listening. But no, Reba McEntire was telling me last night. We were out there at our improv class. And Reba said to me that she thinks I have what it takes to be a big star. And Bob Barker agreed. We were at a fundraiser for spading and neutering camels.
What?
Oh, the camel population, Kevin, is crazy here in Los Angeles. You see them all the time, poor little undernourished camels.
I've never seen one in an alley.
Look behind a dumpster sometime. You'll see it.
Okay.
That's where I get a lot of my food, by the way.
Because you've been fired from going into restaurants, too?
I left to go on to television.
All right, so you're on the Mindy project.
Yeah.
So is that it? I mean, that already is.
Well, no, I got my own project in the works, my own sitcom. I did so well on the POB project that they're talking about
teaming me up as a wacky
lawyer who gets into trouble all the time, might go to jail, and he's got a lot of problems, but he's lovable, and everybody loves him.
But isn't that the Greg Kinnear show? Isn't that just Rake? You're just talking about the new Rake show on Fox?
Oh, they cast that role already?
Yeah, Greg Kinnear. He's playing that role.
I auditioned for that. I thought it was going to go pretty well. Me and Allie Larder went in together. I thought it was going to go.
Yeah, I don't think you got that. I'm sorry, Pat. You didn't have all your eggs in that basket.
Where I play a scientist who's got this virus that everyone's worried about containing.
That's on the sci-fi channel.
Science fiction show.
That's Helix.
Yeah.
Bruce Campbell got that, actually. Didn't he?
Oh, crap.
No, he didn't. I don't think, but it's a good show.
He did. And that's a shame because I read with Ellen Kay over that one. I thought we were at a lot of chemistry. I thought she and I were going to star in that show.
That's too bad.
Mm. Oh, well. Well.
Did you burn bridges at the radio show? Or
still my ventriloquist act. In Branson. Looking forward to doing that.
You have one?
P.O.B. and Peanut. my little buddy Peanut. We do a little ventriloquism. It's like that. Let me bring Peanut out for you. See? Say hi, everybody, Peanut.
That's a terrible act.
So what did you think of Pat O'Brien on the Mindy project the other night?
Pat, we can see your lips moving.
You're not even trying.
We're going to have to agree to disagree on this one.
No, we're not. We can tell you what we see, and your lips are moving.
Ask Hartman. He'll tell you. I'm a great ventriloquist.
You don't know Hartman.
Hey, did you ever meet my crazy Arab terrorist character?
No.
Hold on a second. Let me bring him out here.
All right.
Hey, Abdullah. What's up with all this terrorism?
That's America.
Okay, Pat. We're going to have to step away.
Ow.
Scare OQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
That noise. I don't like that noise.
Loud.
We were talking about, we made mention with Pat O'Brien a minute ago about the Helix show, and it turns out it's Billy Campbell who stars in that show, and I bring that up to mention that if you are a fan of Helix, like Kevin and Ralph are, he will be on with us tomorrow morning in the 8 o'clock hour. Billy is going to be joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Cousin Sal previews the NFL weekend. Timu Solani from the Anaheim Ducks joins us tomorrow, and Patton Oswalt, if he's feeling better, will be stopping on by. That's tomorrow right here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat right now. What's going on?
Pat and Oswalt are going to be there? I love that team. They're my favorite comedy team, Pat and Oswalt. I love
them. They had a ventriloquist act in Branson as well, I think.
Boy, are they funny. All right, everyone's talking Oscar nominations. They were announced this morning. Real quick recap of the big awards. Best Supporting Actress, Blue Jasmine's Sally Hawkins, Jennifer Lawrence in American Hustle, Lupita Nyong'o in 12 Years a Slave, Julia Roberts for August Osage County, and June Squibb for Nebraska. Best Supporting Actor, Barkhad Abdi for Captain Phillips, Bradley Cooper for American Hustle, Michael Fassbender, 12 Years a Slave, Jonah Hill's work in The Wolf of Wall Street was noticed by the Academy, and Jared Leto for Dallas Buyers Club will win that category. Best Performance by an Actress in a Leading Role, Amy Adams for American Hustle, Cate Blanchett for Blue Jasmine, Gravity, Sandra Bullock, Judi Dench's Philomena performance was nominated. Meryl Streep
for August Osage County. And best performance by an actor in a leading role, Christian Bale for American Hustle, Bruce Dern for Nebraska, Leonardo DiCaprio for The Wolf of Wall Street, Chiwetel Ejiofor for 12 Years a Slave, and Matthew McConaughey for Dallas Buyers Club. Best Motion Picture of the Year, 9 nominees this year. American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, Her, Nebraska, Philomena, 12 Years a Slave, and The Wolf of Wall Street. Those are all your big nominations, as is usually the case. A lot of the talk this morning, on the internet especially, less about the nominations, more about who wasn't nominated. The snubs
have Anchorman a big story.
That's not in the list of snubs here people are talking about. Inside Llewyn Davis, they were surprised that wasn't nominated for Best Picture. It's been getting a lot of attention from a lot of the other critics.
And the Coen brothers have been Academy favorites for decades.
Yeah. James Gandolfini's absence from the Best Supporting Actor category was a surprise to a lot of people, especially given his recent passing.
He was great.
He was great in Upset.
Too.
Yeah. So unlike anything you've ever seen him do before. Joaquin Phoenix in Her, even though he sort of carried that film, and it is nominated for Best Picture, not nominated for Best Actor. Also not nominated, Robert Redford for his one-man show, All Is Lost. Tom Hanks from Captain Phillips, an Oscar favorite.
That is a surprise.
Not nominated. Emma Thompson did not get nominated for her work in Saving Mr. Banks.
Farrah Abramson.
Farrah Abramson, also not nominated for Backdoor Teen Mom. Shocking to a lot of people. And Oprah Winfrey's exclusion for her work in The Butler. A lot of people were surprised by that. Not necessarily because she was so wonderful, but because everyone loves her and it was a chance to shine, get a little reflected glory off the Oprah world onto the Oscars. They thought for sure she would find a way into a nomination, but not there.
One of television's most dynamic and commanding stars, Jack Lord.
Jack Lord also not nominated this year.
That's a shock.
For Best Head of Hair on a Dead Guy. Would have been his nomination.
Who's hosting? Do we know that yet?
Yeah, sure we do.
Okay.
It's Ellen DeGeneres.
Told you. Told you we knew, Kevin.
We do know.
Yeah. The most important story of the day by far, though, is the fact that the Batman from 1966 is going to be on DVD. Everyone talking about that.
I haven't heard it anywhere but from you.
Everyone has waited for so long. It's never been on VHS. It's never been available on iTunes. You can't get it at Amazon. You can't get it in instant video. Nowhere. Nowhere, I said.
I taped the reruns on Hub. That's been the only place you can get it.
It was on Hub for a little while, and now it's on MeTV. I don't know if you watch the MeTV or not.
Yes, love MeTV.
I think it's Channel 20 here locally. But MeTV's great. They show all the reruns, all the greatest reruns. Lost in Space, Batman, Star Trek, Wonder Woman, good stuff.
Have you spoken with Adam?
I have not spoken with him about it yet. I got a call into him this morning.
I'd love to know if he, you know, what they're planning for extras. If he's going to be doing any kind of commentary tracks like he's done on his own, or you know what they have to offer.
We all want to know. Maybe we can get him on the phone tomorrow and talk about
it. Yeah, let's get him on. Absolutely.
Adam West. Adam West.
That's the original song.
Yes. Tomorrow night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I, Hollywood Babylon. Come see us, won't you? It's at the Improv on Melrose in West Hollywood. Improv.com is the place to go to get your tickets. Kevin Smith and I will talk all things Batman, Oscars. No. He will get very stoned. I will get belligerent and drunk. It's a good time.
Who wants some?
That's what I say usually by the end of the show. Today's celebrity birthday is John Carpenter. Love him. 66 years old today.
He's done some work.
He sure has done some great films. Richard T. Jones, the actor from Hawaii Five-0 and Revolution, is 42. Supermodel Kate Moss turns 40 years old today to celebrate. 40 candles will be what she's eating. She doesn't eat the cake. She just eats the candles off the cake.
And they're made out of crack.
Got to stay thin. Guitarist Nick Valenci from The Strokes is 33 years old, and actress Renee Felice Smith from NCIS Los Angeles turns 29 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Let me live that fantasy.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7 minutes after 8 o'clock.
She is really my favorite TV executive producer, Sally Ann Salzano, and we love having her on the program from 495 Productions. She is back with a new show, two new shows debuting tonight. Let's find out all about it with Sally Ann. How are you, my dear? Welcome. Happy New Year.
I'm good. Happy New Year. We're back, and we're ready to cause some havoc.
You are ready to make America hate America all over again, especially with this Party Down South show. My God, I know you tipped us off a little bit the last time you were in that we weren't going to believe the people that you cast for this show, but my God, Sally.
Well, just for reference sake, those of you that don't know, Jersey Shore came to us because of Sally Ann.
Yes.
Well, I'm here to help the kids.
Yeah, now. Of course. So now you're doing a show that's down south. Where's down south?
Well, we actually shot the show down in South Carolina in a little town outside of Myrtle Beach called Merle's Inlet. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, it was phenomenal. It was super crazy.
Now, you're on the set the whole time they shoot these shows?
Oh, I lived, yes. Yeah. I lived in
You live
with
there. These people.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? It's like if you leave for a second to shower, that's when they decide, like, hey, let's run hog wild.
but I feel like the way you cast these shows, and you are the undisputed queen of casting reality TV, Sally, but I feel like if you get in a room with somebody and you hate them that, so much that you'd never want to spend any time with them, boom, that person's on your show.
You know what? It's actually kind of the opposite. I feel like people are always like, do you go for the archetypes? Do you do this? I feel like that's like old school way of casting.
Right.
I think I go into it like, all right, I want to do the show about people from the South. I have zero expectations. But I feel like I've seen a lot of BS in my day. So when people come in and I'm kind of like, wait, what? What are they saying? And they make me question what's happening.
Right.
Those are the people for me.
That's the goal.
Because I feel like you want people to see stuff that they haven't seen before. And if someone comes in and I'm like, I get it. You're the virgin. Oh, let me guess. You've never hung out with a black guy. Like, you know, like that's been done so many times.
Right.
So for me, I think the putting people that are similar together is actually more entertaining than finding different people.
Okay. Well, these people, we're going to play a clip here from the show in a minute, but these people certainly bond over, they just want to party and have the best time ever in the house, right?
And
that's
who doesn't?
That's what they're there for.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we're here, right? Like,
yeah, but they're spectacular. Let me play a clip of some of the people that are on the show, and then maybe you can elaborate on that.
I'm a crazy bitch.
I like the HFF, hunt, fish, and
the first thing that came out of Maddie's mouth was, let's take a shot. I was like, hell yeah!
Cheers, bitches!
And they have beer here. I love being here. They have Jaeger here. I love being here. They have the Marsh. I love the Marsh.
I'm Southern Belle because I am from the South and I am cute, like whatever. But I'm badass.
Can I eat my hot dog? People call me a bitch, but I'm just honest.
And this is a duck collar that broke.
You ain't gotta take me to no fancy restaurant. You can take me to Burger King if you want.
I told all the chicks when I got here, I was like, I'm not gonna hit on y'all. I like every one of y'all, but I will bang any one of y'all. If we get drunk and you throw it on me, I'm gonna bang you.
Yeah, y'all might think we're a bunch of ignorant backwoods hicks, and that's exactly right.
Whoa.
That right there is the future of America.
Tell us some of the people that you fell in love with on this cast.
I got to tell you, I'm obsessed. I'm literally sitting here. I'm like turning my phone off because I'm texting with Taylor and Maddie and Daddy now. I cannot wait for America to meet these people. There's a girl named Taylor, which I don't even know what goes on with her. She's about 4'8". I would kill about 12 people to look like her. She like is a little bit of like a rock star. Everything about her is perfect. And you're like, oh, look at that little Southern Belle. And then what comes out of her mouth is crazy. She is sin, Monday through Saturday, and then Sunday she wakes up, Bible out. It's redemption time, people.
Is that right?
They hit reset and go. Like, these are kids that are raised so well, have such family values and such strong religious beliefs. But
all of them?
Yeah, and it's the sin and redemption is how they live their life, and they believe, like, listen, they're good kids, they're just having a good time, but, like, you know, they're home, and, like, as they're, you know, praying to the porcelain gods, they're definitely one hand on the Bible as it's happening. I'm literally like, they all pack Bibles? Like, I've never seen that on a reality show. It's just kind of like, but that's who they are.
That's kind of the South in general, I think.
Some of the stuff that they do doesn't necessarily, I don't think, goes hand in hand
with
the Bible.
Of course.
But sure. Who am I to judge? It's really up to Jesus himself.
What is your... is there a policy on hooking up on the show or not hooking up? Do you encourage it? Do you discourage it? Or you know it's going to happen, right?
I mean, you know, you hope, you pray. But, like, in the end, I think you never know what the chemistry is going to be. And I think that's where the gamble comes in. Like, I may have 8 great people that I think as individuals, but what's going to happen when I put them together?
Right.
And put a camera on them.
And, like, put them in a great town. You know what I mean? Yeah. Give them a job. Give them great bars to go to. Anything can happen. But at the end of the day, for me, it's not only like, how are these 8 characters going to be? But like, I'm always like, all right,
who do you think's going to sleep with who first? You know what I mean? And like, who's going to be the first one to hook up? Who's going to be the first one to give it up? And like, 9 times out of 10, I always have the first one down.
Oh, nice.
But then how it goes down, I am always like, seriously, this is how this is happening? And then you just don't know. It just goes crazy.
Now, where are you specifically when this show is shooting? It's in a house, right? For the most part.
This show is in a house.
Okay, where are you?
Okay, so in this particular property, there was this giant house, and then there was this, I kid you not, tree house. And the tree house was actually our control room. It was like...
You climbed up into a tree every day.
It was a little bit more civilized than that. There was actually a staircase, and it was 800 square feet, but it was this house that the homeowner had built into a tree. And we literally lived in there. As grown adults were like, I wonder if this was meant to hold all this equipment
and
15 people. Just guessing. But we sat in this tree house. I literally sat in a tree house for 30 days.
Oh my gosh.
I got to tell you.
Look at how Sally Ann suffers for her art.
Oh, yeah, come on.
Right.
Right. I do it all over again. But I will tell you, it's great. And I was probably, you know, maybe less than 50, 25 yards from them the entire time.
Right.
And then when they're in a bar, you know, I'm in a van outside the bar or in a back corner or whatever it is, because you want to be close by. And like, look, I don't do it alone. I have an entire team of people because.
Yeah, from the NSA.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Mensa, me and my friends from Mensa all running around. But like at the end of the day, like they all go in different directions. So it takes a lot of us. It's a little bit like reality TV. If you have the right cast, it's similar to herding cats. And like in a good way, like you like, oh, my God, that one went right. This one went left. If like everyone goes organized at the same time.
That's boring.
You know, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Now, what channel is it on? It's on tonight at 10. What's CMT? Is that country?
Country Music Television.
Country Music Television?
And CMT is kind of, it's funny because I started watching it like a couple years ago. I think their programming kind of took off for me. And now I'm like obsessed with it. And
well, they changed their name to CMT because they're getting away from country music now. And they're putting on shows like this now, you know?
Yeah, and I think they're doing a lot of stuff based in the South and like good people, good values. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, the Southern people are interesting to watch.
Sure.
They're a good time.
The fattest guy on your show is the one who most insists on being naked, right?
Murray. I mean, you got to love him. As he describes his private parts, a lot of taters, but not a lot of meat. I mean, when someone says that to you and you're like, tell me about yourself. And you're like, well, I'll start with my genitalia. I'm like, okay, well, we can start there.
Good enough?
Good enough. You know,
you've seen all of your cast members naked on this show, I imagine, right? Because I see that it's hot. There's a lot of swimming going on.
Yeah, I mean, listen, why bog down with all that clothing? You know what I mean?
It's
it just
true.
Adds up on the laundry. They're trying to be good to the environment. They're really conscious group.
Sally Ann, what kind of response do you get from critics of television, of the kinds of shows that you put on that clearly are so entertaining? America loves to watch them. Do you get support from critics at all, or do they universally hate your shows?
I mean, it's both. Like, I did an interview yesterday for my local hometown paper where I was raised in New York, and they were basically like, good news, free publicity, bad news, this is going to be a scathing review.
Oh, right.
I said, oh my God, thank you so much, because you gave me such a scathing review for Jersey Shore. If you just start the article by saying you hate this as much as Jersey Shore, I will consider that a badge of honor. Like, this is like, for someone saying that, like, how could you do this, is my version of a Golden Globe.
But wait, so if when we say we're excited about it, that doesn't do anything for you then?
I feel like you guys are slightly off like me.
Oh.
So you being excited about it means like not only, well, the people that are outraged, it's like when people have sex with people they don't like, they call it hate. We know what.
Sure. Yeah.
I
right.
want people to hate watch the show.
Okay.
Gotcha. Love it or hate it, watch the show. Because I think at the end of the day, this is one of those shows that people are like, oh no, I had no idea it was on. And then tomorrow in the office, everyone's going to be like, I totally saw it.
Well, we are encouraging people to definitely set up to tape it. I mean, don't stumble upon it. Don't miss a precious minute of Party Down South. It premieres tonight on CMT at 10 o'clock. Sally Ann Salzano is here in studio with us like she do on the Kevin Amin Show. And you're not going to believe this. She has another show that's also premiering tonight. We're going to find out all about that when we return right after this on K-Rock.
The delightful and exhausting Sally Ann Salzano in studio with us here on The Kevin DeBean Show, our favorite TV producer working for years on shows like The Bachelor and The Bachelorette and Extreme Makeover. Of course, the creator of The Jersey Shore, and she's back with a couple of new shows tonight. We were just talking about Party Down South, which I can't wait for, on CMT tonight at 10. But you've got another show debuting on MTV tonight. What's up with that?
I know. Talk about making them choose between your kids.
Yeah, what's happening?
Give a sister a break.
Yeah.
What's this one?
Okay, so this one's called Jerks with Cameras.
Jerks with Cameras.
You know, again, highbrow, looking for an
That's
Emmy.
That's what you do.
Yeah, it's what I do. I'm
right.
here.
Right.
No, this show has a little bit of a special place in my heart for me because there's this guy that works for me named Josh Peters, and Josh Peters created this show. He did this in college. This is a kid in college who literally, okay, so he's a jerk.
Okay.
He got a camera.
Right.
And he basically went out and messed with people. And at one point, he came into my office with his VHS tape, and he's like, do we even have a place to play this? We got it transcribed, and he's like, this is a show. And this is one of those shows that we pitch for like a while. And finally, someone's like, oh my God, that is so funny. It's basically an unhidden camera show. And what it is,
an unhidden camera.
And we have a bunch of improv actors.
Right.
And we came up with a bunch of bits, and we literally go out on the street and mess with people. I wouldn't say we're kind.
Love it.
I would say that we're jerks.
Love it.
But I feel like the difference is, like, I love ridiculousness. I love Tosh. I watch all of this stuff all
right.
day.
Right.
And, like, to me, ridiculousness, I think Rob is a genius. But I also feel like they're finding the coolest stuff on the internet and making my life easy.
Right.
But the difference between this show is we're actually creating it. And when you put a bunch of jerky producers and comedians in a room, and our job is to think, like, hey, I'm funnier than you, and one-up each other, it gets a little hairy.
Sure.
I mean, the amount of joy that we got out of going up to people on a boardwalk with a giant paycheck, being like, you want $1 million? What are you going to do with it? Call your mother. And then at the end, we're like, hey, thanks, John. They're like, oh, I'm not John. Oh, my bad. Wrong person. Like, you know, stuff like that. And hey, we're doing a documentary on really ugly people. You'd be great. So anyway, 3, 2, 1. And people are like, whoa, what? Like, you know.
Those poor bastards.
Yeah, a little
but
bit.
But all of them have to give you their approval, right, to run it.
Yeah, at the end of the day, which again, I find fascinating.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, yeah, we're just out on the street and we're like with cameras and some are hidden and some are out in your face. But after we do it, people are so mad that they're almost relieved when it happens. Then they think it's funny because they're kind of like, what a jerk.
But there's got to be some people who don't make that change, who thought you were a jerk and then still think you're a jerk.
Yeah, there are some people where it starts with jerk,
right.
And then you tell them that you were shooting it for a TV show, and it tends to escalate.
Yes.
I would say this is definitely a show where we had security.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's all in good fun. There's no harm, there's no anything, and it is those kind of pranks that once people find out what it is, you're going to roll your eyes and laugh. And
right.
Like, what would I do in that situation? Yeah. And it's all kind of normal stuff. So much as, like, people coming up to you. Like, this one bit, they were doing this taste test for a new energy drink. And they're like, what do you think? The woman's like, I love it. It's totally, like, lemony. Like, people are trying to help you with this taste test.
Right.
And you're like, you know, it doesn't even taste like urine, does it? And you show them the ingredients. And they're like, I'm sorry, I just drank urine. And no, maybe it's Mountain Dew. But like in the end, it's just those simple things that you just sit around and think about, which, you know, are entertaining to mess with other people.
You're truly evil. That's what we love about you.
In a fun way, though.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of fun. It's either this or I'd be in prison. So I felt like this is a way to do what I like to do and stay legal.
Boy, people sure do love to be on TV, though, man. Don't cameras just attract a crowd wherever you go, Sally?
I will tell you, yes, and thank you, Jesus. If that's what makes me pray every day, I just wake up and go, dear God, let them turn it on or at least get their DVR +3.
Speaking of that, what's your advice for Kevin and Bean listeners tonight? How should they handle watching live versus taping tonight?
I don't know, dude. I'm all over the place with it. I mean, we literally, I don't even know what I'm going to do. Like, because I watch everything live. I feel like I'm DVRing them both, and I don't know what I'm going to watch live.
All right, so Party Down South is at 10. That's on CMT.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jerks with Cameras is on at 10:30 on MTV.
Right. We follow Ridiculousness on MTV tonight.
Okay. Well, it's a great night of television entertainment. Thanks to our friend Sally Ann Salzano. Always a pleasure to have you on. I know we'll talk to you again soon, my dear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Actor Haley Joel Osment joins us just after 9 o'clock this morning from the hit new show called The Spoils of Babylon. That's coming up here on The Kevin DeBean Show. Ralph Garman has the showbiz beat in minutes, talking about, among other things, this morning's Oscar nominations. First, though, ladies and gentlemen, making his first appearance in 2014, our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky joining us on the phone right now. Hey, Doc.
Kiss my
ass.
How dare you, Kevin? How dare you?
That is my policy for the new year, as you know well.
That's what I understand. How were your holidays? How's your year going, sir?
They were nice. We traveled with my children, and then I came home and got sick as hell. So I'm just slowly recovering from that. But thank you for asking.
Good Physician, time. Heal thyself, as they say. Well, Dr. Drew, I'm glad we have you on today, as always, because you're involved in a fascinating project. It's actually a movie that's in theaters, and I'm sure it'll be available on lots of other platforms soon, called Divorce Corp. Divorce Corp, I guess, is what it's called, divorcecorp.com. And this is a fascinating look at the divorce industry, which I think has not been spoken that much about, considering how many of us use it.
That is exactly the point. Somewhere around 40 to 60% of people get entangled in this thing. And around $50 billion a year are spent on legal, court, and expert fees for these family courts.
Wow!
$50 billion! And believe me, the system is set up in such a way that it serves itself, and that's what we're sort of shining a light on. One of the extraordinary features I've discovered in the process of making this film, or amongst many head-shaking realizations, one was that, interestingly, you can get a divorce if there's no contest for, you know, $15,000 to $25,000, provided there's no money between you and no money, no alimony or child support. But magically, if there's money, it can cost millions of dollars. Magically.
That is why. Like, what's going on with that? I mean, I know there's a, you know, there's a whole movie to examine the problem, but why is it set up that way to cost so much money just if you have to divvy up a pot between you?
It's caught up to really induce people to fight. And the more you fight, the more it mills through the system, the more the attorneys can charge, the more custody battles there can be, the more evaluators can charge thousands of dollars for their services. And then on top of that, there's an unbelievable chummy community, a culture within the divorce. By the way, it's a family court, not a court of law. Your constitutional privileges, your usual constitutional privileges, don't necessarily apply in a family court, which is another head-shaking reality.
I didn't know they were different.
They're completely different. And as such, the court, the judge, is the jury, the executioner. He or she makes all the decisions. And, of course, there are good judges in the system, but the system is set up in such a way that it really serves itself.
Now, you said that twice. What does that mean?
In other words, the attorneys, first of all, I've already described to you how if there's money, they're induced to fight so you can mill the system a few more times. But if there's an attorney appearing in front of the judge, that judge may have been working for that firm in symposiums. That judge may anticipate being hired by that firm one day, and that attorney may have made millions of dollars of campaign contributions to the very same judge. They may go out to lunch together the next day, and these are the people making the decisions about your family.
Now, do you feel when you, no matter which side of which side of the aisle you're on in terms of being the man or the woman who hires somebody to represent him or her in the divorce, do you feel like that attorney is not there spending their day doing the best job they can for their client in many cases? They're really got something else going on? Is that the point here?
No. They're not illicit, and they're not sinister. They're just the system is set up in such a way to go, yeah, you've got to win. You got to get – I mean, somebody whispers in somebody's ear and goes – Adam and I were talking about this in our podcast. We're saying, you know, if somebody were to have a divorce and the couple was cool, Adam goes, you know, someone's going to get my wife here and go, you know, this is complicated. You have rights. You got to make sure to protect yourself. You never know. And all of a sudden, it's like, hey, you got to fight him for this. And by the way,
and that's when the system starts taking money.
That's when it starts taking money. And often, and I don't know that it's necessarily the majority, but often it draws down all of the assets the couple has, and then the attorneys can even attach their fees the alimony and child support payments later, at least the alimony payments.
Now, I don't know if you cover this in the film or not. We're talking about Divorce Corp. By the way, you can go to divorcecorp.com for theaters. Dr. Drew is the narrator of the movie. But do you make any kind of investigation or studies or even have an opinion, Dr. Drew, on whether the current alimony setup in America is fair, where a couple could be married sometimes even for a short time, and then one party will have to pay the other party for the rest of their life after they divorce?
Really set up when there was a dependent and an independent spouse. And interestingly, now that men are becoming the dependent spouse many times, this issue is getting a very sympathetic ear, because women are often the object of these unfair alimony payments. It's not the men necessarily that are doing this. This is a gender neutral issue. This is not about men's rights or women's rights. This is about a system that needs just a couple of ethical reforms, like, you know, a judicial oversight, or you know, you can't appear in front of a judge that you're contributing to, or how about some of your constitutional privileges being restored? My colleague that really investigated and made the film, because he sat in a, he himself got caught in a divorce and sat in a courtroom and heard all these cases every day and was like suspicious something was really really wrong. He thinks family court should be eliminated altogether. He's a radical.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, Kevin has had a divorce. I've had a divorce. Lisa's had a divorce. Yeah. You haven't had yours yet, Dr. Drew. How are you going to handle yours differently?
Thank you for welcoming me to the club.
Well, it's, you know, it's an assumptive close.
It's a very simple way to do it differently. Stay out of the court. Do mediation. Do mediation. There are ways to stay out of it. It's not a sinister system. As I said, there are good people. But if you don't know how to navigate, you can get caught in it in such a way that it will draw down everything you've worked for your entire life.
I'm glad you guys came up with mediator, because I was going right to murder, and somehow I knew that that didn't sound right, but I wanted to hear it from you.
Always an option, of course. We'll talk about it on HLN.
This is one of those things that is, to me, exactly like the funeral industry.
Very similar. Very, very similar. That analogy has been made many, many times of people who see this film.
Well, it sounds fascinating. Again, it's called Divorce Corp, and you can go to divorcecorp.com for theater information. You can also watch Dr. Drew on HLN Monday through Friday nights at 6. And, of course, he hosts Loveline with our own friend Mike Catherwood Sunday through Thursday nights at 10 here on KROQ. Go to drdrew.com or podcast1.com for all the fine family of Dr. Drew podcasts as well. Happy New Year, man. Great to have you back. Thanks for the time.
Pleasure. See you.
106.7 KROQ is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Hi, folks, this is Adam West. I want to introduce Radio's own boy wonder, Ralph Garman, and the Show Business Report.
That's what I'm talking about.
Wow. Ralph's very excited today.
God, I love him.
It was announced yesterday by none other than Conan O'Brien, of all people, who broke the news via Twitter that the TV series Batman from the 60s is finally going to be released on DVD and Blu-ray.
Yeah!
I've been asking for that since I met him.
Looking for a fall release, they're saying. But you know what it means. Comic-Con this year?
Oh.
Forget about it. It's going to be bat-tastic.
I hope not.
Oh, I can't wait just to roll around, slather just batness all over me. Put bats down my pants. It's going to be all bats all the time.
That's odd, but okay.
July.
Now, I bet, Ralph, that you have the entire collection, probably.
How
on
dare you, sir?
Bootleg VHS
that
tape,
would
I would
be
imagine, right?
Copyright infringement and be quite against the law to be in possession of and or buy, purchase, sell bootleg copies of
piracy
those
hurts us all.
That's right. Piracy is not a victimless crime,
right?
And I do not subscribe to that, sir.
So,
and
yes,
I, and
yes,
I
got
resent
it.
Your implication. You will be hearing from my attorney.
So you have it?
Got some sweet-ass copies.
Hey, baby. Want to take a gander at some Adam West penis?
That's going to be one of the bonuses, they said, in the box set.
Is that right?
Yeah. Finally get a gander at some Adam West penis. So that'll be in the
four-second bonus clip.
Special features of the box set coming out this fall.
Yeah, you're too excited about this.
Also, Oscar Day nominations were announced this morning. The big winner, American Hustle, not only nominated for Best Motion Picture of the Year, but four of its stars nominated for acting roles: Christian Bale, Bradley Cooper, Amy Adams, and Jennifer Lawrence, all nominated.
Wow, that's
the Academy ways
often
of saying, Jeremy Renner, you suck.
Oh, Jeremy Renner is great.
It's their way of giving a little subtle message to Jeremy Renner. I don't know why they hate him, but apparently they do. Other actors nominated for a lead performance: Christian Bale, as I mentioned, Bruce Dern, Leonardo DiCaprio, Chiwetel Ejiofor. And just think, a mere week ago, no one could say his name.
That's true.
Now
I still can't say his
now
name.
Now we're all Chiwetel Ejiofor just all over the place.
Sure.
Matthew McConaughey. Best actress in a leading role: Amy Adams, Kate Blanchett, Sandra Bullock, Judi Dench, and Meryl Streep. Supporting actress: Sally Hawkins. She was in Blue Jasmine, if you don't recognize the name. Jennifer Lawrence, Lupita Nyong'o from 12 Years a Slave, Julia Roberts, and June Squibb from Nebraska. Best supporting actor: Barkhad Abdi.
Sure.
From Captain Phillips. I am the
Is
captain.
Anybody here speak English?
I am the captain now. Bradley Cooper, as I mentioned, Michael Fassbender for 12 Years a Slave, Jonah Hill, and Jared Leto for Dallas Buyers Club. Other motion pictures nominated for Best Picture of the Year, besides American Hustle: Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, Her, Nebraska, Philomena, 12 Years a Slave, and The Wolf of Wall Street.
I don't know if you can wager on Academy Award nominations, but I bet a lot of people lost money betting on Tom Hanks.
Yeah, I would guess so, too. Not nominated.
I sure thought he would get a nod. I thought Robert Redford for sure would get nominated also. For
I expected that as well, yeah. And a lot of people expected Oprah to get a nomination, too, for her work in The Butler.
Ha! Suck it, Oprah! You're not Jeremy Renner bad, but you're bad. That's what the Academy's saying to her. Tomorrow night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I will look over the Oscars as well as talk about the Batman DVD news and other things geeky at Hollywood Babylon, the show we do every week at the Improv on Melrose in West Hollywood. Go to improv.com. Get your details and your tickets for tomorrow night's show at 10 p.m. We'd love to have you come out and join us.
No bueno.
Come on. Bueno. Muy bueno. I'm fluent, you know.
Sure.
En Español. Today's celebrity birthdays, Richard T. Jones from Hawaii Five-0 and Revolution. Really talented actor, 42 years old today. Supermodel Kate Moss is 40. Guitarist Nick Valencia of The Strokes is 33. We should cue up a little Strokes, I think, today. It's only right. It's a dude's birthday.
Sure. I do love them.
Renee Felice Smith, she's on NCIS Los Angeles. She's 29 years old. And director John Carpenter. This guy makes movies that you like.
He's done a movie or two.
He sure has. Just nothing. How about Halloween? How about just inventing pretty much the genre of the slasher film? God bless him. Also, Escape from New York and The Thing. A big fan of The Thing. He's 66 years old today. If I'm not mistaken, and I don't think I am, he got one of his big breaks by directing Kurt Russell in the story of Elvis on television.
Really?
Kurt Russell played Elvis in a movie of the week on television. I'm pretty sure John Carpenter directed that as well. That's maybe more than you ever want to know about John Carpenter.
It is, actually.
But it is his birthday. Once a year, give him some props. He's 66 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The Spoils of Babylon, a hilarious new six-part show on IFC. It debuted on January 9th with two back-to-back episodes. Kevin, I have watched the first three episodes of Spoils of Babylon. And I'm going to tell you that Haley Joel Osment isn't in it. That's what I'm going to tell you. That's the fact I'm bringing you here today. I'm glad Mr. Osment is here. He may be a fan of the show, but he is not on the show.
It says on my paperwork, Haley Joel Osment, actor, The Spoils of Babylon.
I am baffled.
What's the real story here, Haley? Are you snowing us? What's happening?
Well, it's as you can tell from the first couple episodes, it's a big, you know, epic with multiple generations of the Morehouse family. And I'm in the final generation. So 4, 5, and 6 are the episodes where my character sort of rises to power once Tim Robbins has sort of faded and Kristen.
Now, are you the baby? Are you Tobey Maguire and Chris and the mannequin's baby?
Nobody knows yet, but it will definitely be revealed in the most melodramatic way possible. But yeah, right now I remember in like certain Shakespeare plays, they just called certain, like Edmund just bastard without the definite article, and that's how my character sort of is right now. His parentage is not clear.
Tell us for people who haven't seen any of it, The Spoils of Babylon is what?
It's the craziest show ever.
It is. It's
on purpose.
It is based on the novels of Eric Jonrosch, who is played by Will Ferrell, and he wrote this gigantic epic about a family that strikes oil during the Depression and rises to power, kind of like a 20th century Rockefeller family, and basically they start getting involved in the wars in the Middle East and oil intrigue and everything, and my character is this megalomaniac who sort of pushes them into a very dangerous territory.
There's so much that I love about this show. I mean, I'm going to go back and watch the whole thing again. I can already tell at the end because it's so – I mean, it's like an acid trip, isn't it, Haley, when you watch this? I mean, it's the kind of show – and I love when shows do this. For instance, Tobey Maguire is fighting the Japanese in World War II, and he gets shot down. Mm-hmm. And it's the kind of show that as his plane gets shot down, then they go to this like scratchy old war footage from old movies that's completely like unrelated, doesn't fit at all. And then he lands in like a little claymation village. I mean, it just – and then it goes to like some sort of weird film noir black and white where Kristen Wiig is holding up signs to advance the plot. I mean, it's like everything you've ever seen on any movie or TV show kind of thrown into one. It's crazy.
It is. And we benefited from having this director, Matt Piedmont, who is very, very, very technically skilled, has done a lot of movies and television, but also a lot of commercial work. So he knows all these really highly stylized techniques, and he uses all of them. And we use like vintage lenses that were used in like the 50s and 60s and like Fassbender films with like colors that are way too intense and, you know, extreme up close focus and split focus. There's one scene coming up where me and Kristen have this really melodramatic argument, and we switch by being one face really up close to the camera and another person's like 100 yards away and you can see them. So it's that kind of like intense drama.
Would it help to be high?
Yeah, but I'm not sure what type of high is appropriate for this because it goes, you know, so many plays. And then Toby, you know, has that beat journey through the 50s where he gets hooked on junk and Kristen has to save him. My personal favorite from the war, though, is that when Toby does a power dive in his fighter plane, you can hear Toby going, "Nyeow!" instead of the plane. The plane doing it. So.
What a bizarre thing. How did this get presented to you? Or did you go after it?
I was one of the last people to get involved. So it was just crazy to get that phone call and then to look at the email that my agent sent me. My agent just did some really great work by, you know, throwing out, you know, calling the Funny or Die people and everything. Because it's Kristen Wiig, Tobey Maguire, Will Ferrell, Jessica Alba, Val Kilmer, Tim Robbins. It's insane.
At that point, if they say to you, "Do you want to be a part of this?" You say,
"Oh yeah, yeah, definitely." It was just insane. And just doing a project like this where there's like a ton of text, but also improvisation is just a really great experience as an actor.
I love that, spoiler alert here, Tobey Maguire. He's in love with his sister Kristen Wiig,
right.
but he does meet someone else after the war, and she's a mannequin. Now nobody ever makes reference to the fact that she's a mannequin. She's voiced by Carrie Mulligan on the show, but they just treat her like a regular person, even though she clearly is just a doll wearing clothes. It's like whose mind does something like that come out of?
I didn't know where this came from until recently. We did a joint panel at the TCAs with Andrew Steele and Matt Piedmont, who wrote it, and in the script, it wasn't stated that she would be a mannequin. And Andrew Steele was in a barn, so I think it might have been his barn or somebody else's barn, and found this mannequin and texted a picture to the director saying, "I found Our Lady Anne. This is the woman who's going to play it."
Oh my God.
So there's a lot of things that are just funny to us behind the scenes that go into it without explanation, which is sort of an entertaining
thing. That's my favorite kind of weird stuff. Weird stuff just baffles you. You go, "What? Why? Nobody's even mentioning that?
Right.
It doesn't make any sense."
There's one, when I first appear in the next episode, this is sort of one of Matt's directing techniques, is that when Kristen and I are in front of like a big screen, like the old movies where the car is bouncing but it's just video playing in the background, and we're driving along laughing maniacally, and the director, without warning us, had this taxidermied crow on a pole hanging from a string, and it's just like, "Now look out for the crow," and swung it up, and we're like, "Oh my God." So those sort of things that jump out at you during filming.
Well, I'm glad Haley Joel Osment is our guest here on the Kevin Beach Show. We're talking about Spoils of Babylon, which airs Thursday nights at 10 on IFC. I'm glad you mentioned Funny or Die, because that is probably, I've been looking for an easy way to sell this to people. If you like the Funny or Die videos on the site, this is the show for you, because this is just a 6-part episode of one of those. It's great.
And I'm happy to hear that you're in it, because Bean did come in this morning and go, "I don't think our guest is in the show. I don't know what we should do."
It was very distressing to me, so I'm happy to hear that you do, in fact, make an appearance. We got to take a quick break. We have a bunch of other stuff we want to talk to Haley about when we return, including a forthcoming movie that may be out later this year that you co-star in with our own Ralph Garman.
That's
How
right.
How about that?
Very exciting.
So we'll talk to Haley Joel Osment some more right after this on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. We're having some fun now, right, you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spoils of Babylon is the name of the show on IFC. It airs Thursday nights at 10. There are 6 episodes, at least for season 1. God, I hope they come back and do some more of these, Haley Joel Osment, because it is
too.
So funny.
I second that.
And I don't want people to be concerned that they feel like they've already missed too much to jump in, because the thing we know about IFC is they will replay. I mean, there's going to be Spoils of Babylon marathons for the rest of time on IFC. So you'll definitely get a chance to catch it. Let me ask you this, Haley, because your guy's been acting since you were a little kid. I mean, even before most of us learned your name with The Sixth Sense, you'd already been in show business for several years, making TV appearances and stuff like that. So you started out as a kid actor, yet it doesn't seem like we ever heard you go through that crazy bad phase where you were getting arrested all the time. How'd you do it?
No Justin Bieber phase for you?
No, thank God. Huh. That stuff's crazy. But I think, yeah, it's that like late teenage years where you sort of have the most temptations. And if you...
Because you're too old to get the cute roles anymore, but you're not quite old enough for people to treat you like an adult. So a lot of kids, they get into a never-never land.
And it's when just like, that's the age where everybody has like a combination of like a lot of a feeling of invincibility, and your brain hasn't quite gotten mature enough to realize that you aren't invincible yet.
How old were you in The Sixth Sense?
I was 10 when we shot that.
10, okay.
Yeah. But I would say the reason that I feel like I'm in a good position now, just personally, is that I went to regular high school, and I went to college in New York, and just sort of established a life outside of the industry, because I don't blame a lot of kids who go through tough phases in those late teenage years, because it's, you know, it's always tough to try and pursue a career in this town. And if that's everything, and if your friends and everything are all looped into that, that can be really stressful.
So you wanted to go to college, for instance, and not act at all, right? You really wanted to kind of leave it behind for a few years and just kind of get set up for a potential alternate life.
I actually studied theater in college, so I didn't leave the craft, which was fun. But like, it was, you know, the work I was doing there was like not very high profile and everything. And a lot of the people, what was cool about it is that even though I was acting then, it was with people my age sort of for the first time. Because when I was doing films and things as a kid, I would usually be like the only kid in the movie, something like that. So it was good to establish relationships with people my age.
Do people recognize you as the Sixth Sense kid?
It
amazes
me.
Does he sort of look like him?
Yeah.
You know, but you don't completely. Like, if I saw you on the street, I'd go, I know that guy, but I have no idea from where.
I wouldn't recognize myself, I wouldn't think, but people do. And
they do,
like,
still.
The past couple of years, like, all, like, most of the projects I did last year and one the year before, I had a really big beard that I grew over a period of several months, and people were still seeing through that. So
really?
I don't know how. Yeah.
I love it when you talk about studying theater, though, in college. Where'd you go to college, by the way?
NYU, and I studied experimental theater there.
Okay, so you're you know, there with other aspiring actors, I imagine, in your theater class, yet you're the guy who's already done the Steven Spielberg movie. I mean, you know, it must have just been so weird for them to be in an acting class as they're beginners, and you've already had so much experience.
It could have been, but what was cool about Tisch is that there's a lot of different studios. So there's some studios that it's more acting for film and people who want to move to L.A. after college and try and get a series or something. And the studio I was in was experimental theater, so there's a lot of people who had completely different goals there and who wanted to. A friend of mine, like, got hired by Cirque du Soleil right out of college and, like, stuff like that. So you had a wide variety of performers, and there wasn't any awkwardness because of my past career and everything.
Gotcha.
And there were some teachers there who were so principled about, like, the usefulness of the work that we were doing. They're like, we don't even care if you guys choose to be actors afterwards. It's just as long as this,
is that
like,
right?
As this affects you, you know, philosophically and gives you just sort of an artistic outlet in that way. So that was
cool.
Do
you still love acting?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I, you know, and ever since I started as a kid and was – when I was too young to really understand the implications of what a career in acting would be. I started when I was 4. I did my first film then.
And that was Forrest Gump,
right? That
was
Forrest Gump. That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice start.
Almost 20 years ago. 20 years ago in July, which is nuts. But yeah, I mean, my parents were always saying, you know, if it's not fun, if you don't want to do it anymore, you know, we'll stop tomorrow. So and when I got to be a teenager and was applying to colleges and everything, that was really the time when it was like, am I going to commit to this at this phase or study something else and everything? And there really was nothing that I wanted to do more than this.
But so. Isn't there that fear in the back of your mind as an actor? Isn't there a fear of walking away and going to another world and then hoping to get back in?
Yeah, and a lot of people in the industry that I knew at the time you know, did not agree with going to college and saying, you know, you're walking away from, because it's you're only as good as your last project.
Right.
And if you go away for like 4 or 5 years, you lose all that momentum.
You certainly could.
Yeah. And so that's something you take. And it took a couple of years after college to get back to doing projects like these. But I would just say that you can only do college at that age. You only get one chance to do that. And I could have gone to school later, you know, and done films with my teens and everything. But I was really glad to have that experience. It was a gamble.
Well, it sounds like it worked out great for you. And by the way, if you're really in Spoils of Babylon, I'm looking forward to seeing you on the show. That airs Thursday nights at 10 on IFC. You're also in a film coming out later this year called Tusk that
yes.
we have heard about because our friend Kevin Smith made this movie and our other friend Ralph Garman is in the film. Tell us about you and Tusk.
It's such a cool and disturbing and funny project. It's unlike anything Kevin Smith has ever done, but it still has the things that you know him for with, you know, excellent wide-ranging dialogue,
right.
Really odd subject matter. But it's a horror comedy. In the film, Justin Long and I have a podcast, and the podcast is based around him going around the country and in Canada finding strange people to interview, and he ends up interviewing a guy who ends up being a lot of trouble and kind of dangerous, and me and Justin Long's girlfriend, played by Genesis Rodriguez, have to go and rescue him and beat the clock before something terrible happens. And it's actually based on a podcast that Kevin Smith did, I think, last year, the year before, where he found an ad that someone had posted for a room free of rent as long as the renter promised to dress as a walrus for 1 hour every day. So that's the jumping off point for this movie.
Another one of those. That old story.
Yeah, believe they're regurgitating that
old cliche with the walrus
film.
And the rent. Yeah.
That is coming out later this year. That's
yes.
the plan on that?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, before we go, we're talking about Spoils of Babylon and how great it is. Will Ferrell plays a character in it. He sets up every episode. He's the author of the books upon which the Spoils of Babylon movie that we're watching is being made. Is that right? Do I have that right, Haley?
That's right, yes.
What okay, would he know? So, he's not in it.
But he may have seen it.
Oh, okay.
So here's Will Ferrell playing the character of Eric John Rosch as he closes out yet another episode of Spoils of Babylon. I thought this might be fun as a way for us to thank Haley for coming in today and saying goodbye to him. So here's Will.
There it is, another ending. Fear not. There is more to come next time. More story. More music. More gaiety and color. For isn't that what moves us, the excitement of life, the thrill of being bitten by a snake? Isn't there something in the mystery of many particles forever dancing in the chaos of our vision? You don't even know what I'm talking about, so shut your mouth. How old are you? What? 22? It's not even an age. Stop lying to me. I have no intention of continuing on. No, I'm done. I'm through for the day. I, for one, have read my contract.
That's what you need to know about Spoils of Babylon. Thursday nights at 10 on ISC. Haley Joel Osment, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
Woo!
Ralph Garvin is here.
Woo! Woo!
Time for the showbiz beat. Ralph is only ever this happy when he's 5 minutes from hitting the door to get out of here.
Yeah. Well, no, just good seeing Haley again, too. Haven't seen him since we got drunk together in North Carolina.
Oh, for Tusk.
For Tusk, yeah. And speaking of which, Kevin Smith will be on the show tomorrow.
Fantastic.
Director of Tusk to talk Oscars and, of course, Batman DVD.
That's why Ralph's in a good mood.
Yeah. Because I know I'm just months away from my sweet, sweet DVDs.
1962, right?
66.
Sorry, 66. Batman show is on DVD, and Ralph could not be happy.
Not yet, but it will be this fall.
All right,
I'm going to get naked. I'm going to lay them all over my body, the entire, all the discs.
I believe that.
Especially some parts of my body.
Yeah.
That's the big news. The other news, if some people, you know, whatever, Oscars. I guess that's kind of a...
But I don't even see Adam West on this Oscar list, so
exactly.
How important can it be?
How's that going to happen? Best Motion Picture of the Year. Here are your nominees. American Hustle. Captain Phillips. Dallas Buyers Club. Gravity. Her. Nebraska. Philomena. 12 Days... No, 12 Days a Slave. It wouldn't be so bad, but 12 Years a Slave. That's a bad movie. The Wolf of Wall Street. Good films all.
I agree.
Here are actors nominated for their leading roles. Christian Bale for American Hustle. Bruce Dern for Nebraska. Leonardo DiCaprio for The Wolf of Wall Street. Chiwetel Ejiofor for 12 Years a Slave. And Dallas Buyers Club, Matthew McConaughey's performance. That's the kind of performance, that's the kind of role that the Academy loves.
Yep.
He had to lose a lot of weight. Played a guy with AIDS. Very dramatic. It's sort of a recovery of his soul by the end of the film. There's a lot going on for that, say, maybe the leading candidate.
All right. Looking forward to that. That is part of his speech if he wins an Oscar.
Speaking of that film, Jared Leto, his co-star, also nominated for Best Supporting Actor, along with Jonah Hill from The Wolf of Wall Street, Michael Fassbender, 12 Years a Slave, American Hustles, Bradley Cooper, and Barkhad Abdi from Captain Phillips. Now for the ladies, best performance by an actress in a leading role, Amy Adams for American Hustle, Kate Blanchett for Blue Jasmine, Gravity's Sandra Bullock, Judi Dench from Philomena,
Meryl Streep, perennial Oscar nominee for August Osage County. Performance by an actress in a supporting role, Sally Hawkins for Blue Jasmine. I thought she was terrific in that film. Jennifer Lawrence, American Hustle. Lupita Nyong'o, 12 Years a Slave. Julia Roberts, also for August Osage County. And June Squibb from Nebraska. A very talented actress, plays Bruce Dern's wife in that film. Also invented the little thing that explodes on you in the movies when you look like you got shot.
I don't think that's not the same thing.
It's called the squib.
It is called a squib, right. But I don't
think she had anything to do with it.
It's not her invention.
All right. You guys made one movie. You talked to Jennifer Aniston from the crowd. You think you know things about movies. I'm sorry, Kevin was in two movies.
Thank you. I am the expert.
He also
my voice was
the guy at the bar.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that one.
Excuse me. What was the name of that movie? Good Time in Rick's Sauna. What was that called again? The movie you made?
It was Dark Reel.
Dark Reel.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I bumped into you here at the bar. Imagine that, Kevin playing a guy who bumps into someone at a bar. I'll spill my drink. Speaking of drunks, there's nothing to do with show business, but I love this list. The drunkest cities in the United States.
All right.
That top 10 list has been released. Drunkest cities in the country. This comes from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta.
So is this alcohol consumption per capita? Is that how they decide this?
Yes. This is men who have more than two drinks a day and women who have one drink a day at least. That's how they measure it. Okay?
That's it?
Well, that was the baseline. And then there's binge drinkers. You know, and from there on up, they rate them, and each of those levels has a point scale, and they add them all up, and they get the drunkest cities in the United States.
All right,
where do
seems
I need
like
to move?
College cities would be in there.
Yeah, you'd think, Lisa, but you'd be
wrong.
I have a guess,
and maybe I only know this from TV, but Alaska. I'm going to say like Anchorage or someplace where the days are very, very short, and there's not that much to do, and very few women.
Alaska's not on the list of the top 10. Nothing in Alaska.
Wow. Okay.
Florida.
I'm out then.
Miami.
Florida is on the list. Kevin, Tallahassee's number 8.
Oh.
Tallahassee, Florida, number 8 on the list.
Okay.
What about Las Vegas?
Las Vegas not on the list, Lisa.
What?
City's residents. City's residents.
Okay.
People.
Okay.
Come on now.
Sorry.
Stay with me.
Sorry. Someplace else, Seattle.
No major cities on the list, by the way.
No major cities.
Fresno.
We give up then.
Austin, Texas.
No, let me tell you.
All right.
Texas not on the list.
Okay.
Lincoln, Nebraska was 10th on the list.
What?
That's a depressing city. Isn't that also the meth capital?
Bozeman, Montana, 9th.
What?
Tallahassee, Florida was 8th. Lawrence, Kansas, 7th on the list.
Is that college?
Is that a college
yes.
town?
Yes. That's a college town.
All right.
This is no surprise. Number 6, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Sure.
Milwaukee. I think they invented beer there in Milwaukee. Brookings, South Dakota, 5th. Fort Collins, Colorado. Missoula, Montana. Oh, Montana representing.
Yeah, sure.
3rd on the list. Columbus, Nebraska. 2nd on the list. And the number...
Never heard of Columbus, Nebraska, by the way.
The number one city with the largest population of binge drinkers and drunkards, Fargo, North Dakota. Fargo.
Say what?
Fargo.
USA! USA! USA!
I'm trying to do a gosh darn card count here. He was loaded when he said that. Who knew?
Say what?
And this is the best story ever. Country star Trace Adkins has checked himself into rehab since we're talking about booze.
Oh, we know him from Celebrity Apprentice.
That's right. Big country western star. Talks like this. How you doing, Donald?
Yeah, right.
I'm going to do that. He's been sober for 10 years.
Oh,
yeah,
that's sad.
Fell off the wagon.
I don't understand. That's ridiculous.
Fell off a wagon on a cruise ship. He was performing on a cruise ship. The country.
Why is there a wagon on a cruise ship? That's weird.
The country cruising cruise.
That's a terrible
country
cruise.
Country cruising.
Can you imagine Ralph Garman on that
country
cruise?
Country cruising on the cruise ship.
Yeah, maybe.
Can
an
you
alcoholic.
See Ralph?
He was performing on the country cruise ship.
Oh, no.
The cruise to Jamaica. And also on board was a Trace Adkins impersonator. A Trace got a load on, saw the Trace Adkins impersonator doing karaoke of him in the bar, which made him angry, and then they got into a fist fight.
Love it.
So Trace Adkins in a fist fight with a Trace Adkins impersonator on a cruise ship.
He should not drink.
That's fantastic.
Awesome.
When they docked in Jamaica, Trace Adkins hightailed it out of there. Trace had been sober for 12 years. Apparently, he thought the cruise ship would be a good time to have a few cocktails.
Oh, Garrick, microphones were there.
He's got stamina for drunkards.
They have to change the tires on the ship. There we go.
On the wagon on the ship.
How much fun would be watching to see a celebrity battle his own celebrity impersonator?
That would be awesome.
That's a TV show.
Absolutely, that's a TV show.
To be featuring.
Get
a
Sally
and
Salcedo back in here. Seriously.
Celebrities versus their impersonators.
Love it. Impersonator trying desperately to look like the celebrity.
Put him in a ring, and then the celebrity gets to beat up their impersonator.
Awesome. I love it.
I'm drunk now.
Yeah. I wonder if Trace Hackett is going to write now a hit country song about getting in a fight with someone who looks just like me.
I beat up my mirror image. I'm down in some tequila. Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, real quickly. Tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Hollywood Babylon with me and Kevin Smith.
No.
Do it. Just do it. Stop saying no all the time.
I feel like that kid knows.
Tomorrow night, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose. Go to improv.com to get your tickets. See me and Kevin Smith do Hollywood Babylon. Kevin, as I mentioned, will be in tomorrow, so we'll give you a little.
Yes.
A little taste. Huh? Very
excited.
Rodney's going to be there. That's good news.
I dig.
Yeah. Bring him up on stage.
He does dig.
Oh, wow.
Kevin, say a few things, a few words to the folks. Yeah, Rodney's got, he can contribute to the show.
It sounds like it.
Right, Rodney, you got things you could tell the kids at Hollywood Babylon, right?
Oh, Rodney's ready for you.
Cranky.
Who's going to be cranky?
Yeah, there it is.
There it is.
Right.
Who's going to be?
Are there any girls here?
Yeah, there are. There are lots of girls who come to our
Touch
show, Rodney.
Me, I'm going to scream.
Hey, we should both play stuff at the same time. That'd be awesome.
I think Rodney's having a fight with an impersonator right now. Today's celebrity birthday is John Carpenter is 66 years old. Richard T. Jones of Hawaii Five-O and Revolution, he is 42. Supermodel Kate Moss. It turns 40 years old today. Guitarist Nick Valenci of The Strokes is 33.
And I was...
I had a clip that I was going to play. No, hold
never
on. Now let me explain.
And Renee Felice Smith, NCIS Los Angeles, 29 years old
today.
I'm Ralph
Garman,
walk the show.
I won't play it because
done.
Muggs is going to play a Strokes hook.
I'm
so then I decided
done.
To bail, but then he didn't play the Strokes hook, so
freaking
it just
done.
Sounded bad.
Again, no help.
Everyone,
no help from anybody.
Everyone back away from the table.
What happened with the Strokes clip that Ralph had?
It was ready a little late.
That's what the problem was. Gotcha.
You played a drop.
Tomorrow morning.
I was the first DJ to ever play that
All
on
right,
Los Angeles
easy.
Radio.
Hour,
and I can prove it.
Hour's not enough. Hour lead time not enough to get a little help around here. Can't ask an hour in advance and get something.
It's because they're chuckleheads, Ralph.
Chuckleheads. That's what they are. You're going to make fun of some more people going through transgender operations.
Yeah.
Tomorrow Chuckle morning, heads. An all-new Kevin Bean show.
It'll be ballless, I think.
Cousin Sal will be here talking about the weekends.
So the ball's in their court, really. Oh, ballless in their court.
Very important NFL weekend this weekend. We have a comedian Patton Oswalt.
Oh, football-less.
We have comedian Patton Oswalt back on the show tomorrow. We have Billy Campbell on the program tomorrow.
Or Campbell-less.
That doesn't make sense. We have Timu Solani from the Ducks, the Anaheim Ducks, talking about the Kings Ducks Dodger Stadium game. We have Kevin Smith, like you mentioned, in the studio.
Damn.
Ice Cube on the program tomorrow. And we have a movie beat.
Nope.
All tomorrow morning on the new Kevin and Bean show.